Blog Talk Radio.
Journeyman, Spiritual Link Talk Radio here on Block Talk Radio. Welcome to the show, and how are you? Welcome. We're also checking out the chat room, too, as well. So if you want to sit here and relay a couple questions to us, please do so. Like I said before, hello, welcome. If you want to call and get a reading, please call us at 646-721-9031. Or for private readings, call 740-500-8863. Or go to my website at www.psychicxjourneyman.com. Our April special is three 90-minute specials. Specials. It's like a restaurant. It's actually three 90-minute sessions for $100 or five 30-minute sessions for $100, which is kind of fascinating with the situation. If you check out the website, you'll see we do all kinds of things, past life readings. We work with children who have gifts. We also work with parents. We work with people in situations like that with life coaching. Life coaching itself is the idea of helping people to trust themselves by teaching them how to actually listen by developing their gifts. We all have gifts. We all have things to do and that kind of stuff like that. Even a person who is very talented, like a baseball or football, those kind of things like that, there still has to be some discipline, focus on working on the skills to develop them to their full extent, which a lot of times you certainly look at the situation that we don't do it like the humans do. I hate to put it that way, but the humans have a tendency to say there's a limitation. And even though we keep seeing example after example, every freaking time we turn around, age has nothing to do with anything. Nothing. It's the idea of perception and how you perceive those situations and what you're going to do with them. If you're a person who's never had any writing skills or anything like that, but always been talented at it, you probably have people telling you, well, since you don't have the schooling, how can you do that? First of all, and to sit here and say, well, if my perception tells me otherwise, and it's something you're being prompted to do, and you see yourself always in those situations, and that's what you're passionate about, and that's what you love to do, put yourself in the situation and allow yourself to just go with the flow and see what happens. You might be surprised that everybody's been telling you that you can't do it. That's their perception that you're hearing. And maybe they should be looking at you, too, as a good example, that maybe they can do it too. And maybe that's what it's all about. They're telling you since they didn't go through the schooling, didn't do the stuff, made excuses after excuses, so they're basically doing it for you. So you can either feed into it or tell them to hit the road. With the situation tonight's episode, we're actually going to be focusing on the idea of, you know, how to manifest that will. It's easy. It's just one of those situations of helping people understand that. Okay, tonight we are going to be doing this roundtable conversation on how to manifest it well. Plus, we're going to be doing relationship readings, free angel readings. So just give us a call at 646-721-9031 and get one. Okay, if you'd like to donate to the show and help support the show and keep us going so we can keep this all going as far as we can. And put more into it to make it the best show ever. Donate. And for every donation, thank you. Always remember to give love where love is given. The freest thing goes on that kind of thing too as well. So let's take a look at the situation and go, okay, how do you manifest it well? First of all, foremost, it's the ideal that the reason I recommended the three 90-minute sessions or the five 30-minute sessions and the idea of learning how to manifest. What you do first and foremost is the ideal manifestation is the ideal of making sure that there's nothing going to hinder your success, hinder your efforts in the ideal manifestation. Which means that we're going to clear our bodies in the ideal of any kind of, as most people call it, baggage. My first thing I like to do is the idea of chakra clearing. There's all kinds of things, there's chakra clearing, chakra chanting, chakras, energy centers within your body. The seven main chakras are the root chakra, which is at the base of the spine, which is ruby red. It is in charge of appetites. No, that's the other one. That's in charge of security, safety. How do you feel secure? The place that you would use more likely in the idea of being more successful is to learn how to ground. It's at the base of your spine. Let's see here. There's also a phrase that goes with it. The root chakra says, I am. So if you look at the words like I was saying before, I am safe, I am secure, I am financially abundant. That's the root chakra. And then you go to the sacral chakra, which is I feel, which is appetites and desires. It's orange. Your solar plexus chakra is I do, and it's yellow, and it's the one in charge of power and control. It's the one that most of us feel in the process of getting prompted feelings. People go on dates and that kind of stuff. Like some people call it the butterfly feeling. I got butterflies in my stomach, which that's actually your solar plexus kicking in. And then we have the heart chakra, which is green, which is in charge of relationships, but not just romantic relationships. It's the idea of how open you are to everybody else, too, as well. Okay? So it is relationships, but it's called, like, Angel of Loving Relationships. If you listen to the name, it just says Angel of Loving Relationships. So it's very important how we interact with all of our relationships. And if the heart chakra is not clearly clear and balanced, you have a tough time relating to anybody and everybody, okay? Then we go to the throat chakra, which is, well, first and foremost, your root chakra is at the base of your spine. Your sacral chakra is on a man, will be around the testicles, and then on the woman, be around the ovaries. Your solar plexus chakra would be around your, about 2 inches above your belly button. Your heart chakra would be in the heart area. Your throat chakra would be where your collarbones come together. Right there in that chakra part right there. Throat chakra. I speak. When that one's open, you can speak very clearly about what you want to do, and you'll start realizing that most people who can actually be very tactful, but very truthful and very straightforward, have a very clear throat chakra. Then we go to our third eye chakra, which is I see, which is like indigo. The throat chakra is like a robin eggs blue. Then we go to the crown chakra, I understand. Because I'm pretty sure you can figure out the third eye chakra is the one that's the chakra that's attached to the third eye. The throat chakra, throat speaking. Your crown chakra is at the top of you. It's actually at the top of the base of your skull. Well, right inside the top of your skull. It's called Crown Chakra, which is the idea of opening up. When it's opened up, you can actually hear guidance, which has a tendency to affect the rest of the chakras, too. When we get that flow going through, we've actually heard how they have a tendency to meditate, where they can actually go and have the energy coming up through those chakras like a snake. When I do it properly, what we do is we bring in universal energy, white or gold, and bring it down to the top and run it through the chakras like a snake. Okay, and then we go and take energy from the ground, which is usually green, and run up to the bottom like a snake. And then what we do is we focus on bringing those two together in the way of clearing the chakras out, balancing them, and having this flow of energy, which has a tendency to open up the chakras, balance them out, and it all goes, works with the idea of opening up the root chakra and the crown chakra to get these things going. We have many chakras throughout our, we have over 144 chakras throughout our whole body. But these are the same, these are the seven main ones. And then you go to the eighth chakra, which is actually below your feet, which connects you to the astral plane. And then you go back up to the ninth chakra, which is above you, right above, I would say about 9 inches above your skull, which is actually the one that's connected to your higher self. And you have the 10th and 11th one, which are attached when you've got, when those are open and fully functional. They actually help you see, as we call them, probable realities, what is really going on, see through the illusion. And then the 12th one is actually the one is the connection or the relationship that you have with God, Source, Spirit, whatever you call it. I call it God. So you can see how all of those chakras going open, you can see how things could change. And it'll be easier to, as this energy is flowing correctly, it basically makes you like a magnet. It also helps it easier to actually put yourself in the same energy vibration as what you're trying to manifest. It can be interesting in itself. Well, I see we have a caller. Let's go take a caller. Area code 917. Welcome to the show. How are you? What's your name?
Hi, this is Ashil.
Who?
Ashil, A-S-H-I-L.
Oh, how are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm doing good. How can we help you
today? I have a two-part question, actually. But the first part is I just started a business partnership, and I'm just trying to feel what kind of energy do you guys feel about it? Are you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here. Just looking at the situation where I just get very positive energy with it. It's like a mixture of both. It's like you got a lot of positive energy with the ideal, seeing a lot of success, but you also see a little bit of negative energy because of the doubt.
And because of what?
Because of doubt and unknown.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense.
But it seems like the positive energy outweighs the negative, so it's just the ideal. The more you keep going forward with this, the more realistically, it seems like it neutralizes the negative because you start experiencing things on. It's like you can't really know what life's about, and even the idea of finding oneself, unless there's experiences.
Okay. Well,
as you go through experiences.
It's also getting to know my business partner who is based overseas, so I was trying to feel his energy as well because I trust him, you know, but they had a little issue here and there, but that's probably why you're getting a little doubt there, but most of it actually. You know, confident that it's going to work out. But I'm just curious what you think.
No, I hear you.
So do you see success?
Yes, I do see success.
And what I'm feeling that it might take a little longer than what I expected. I'm not, you know, maybe I'm, you know, I'm just, that's what I feel.
Okay, the last part you said it might take longer than you expected?
Yeah, I'm saying, yeah, in terms of, you know, financially, you know, the rewards, so to speak. You know, because, you know, right now business is a little slow, so I don't know when it's going to pick up. That's what I meant by that.
What do you do now? And what do you do?
Well, we have a clothing company, clothing line.
Mm-hmm.
And the one thing managing is here, my partner is overseas.
Okay. Success. I still believe in the ideal. Success is what you make it. Actually, I get the impression of changing perceptions. Things could turn around for you guys financially really good, really quickly. It might not, and it might only take a year for that to be a turnaround for you.
Okay, yeah, I was expected by next summer. Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking. So, you just, wow, that's what I was feeling like. You know, things are going to turn around really good in about a year or so. And do you see this partnership lasting for a little while?
I get the impression the partnership might change, but the business will go on.
Okay. In terms
of what? Like you're still, it would just seem like the ideal. You'll be basically connected to the whole thing. And choices will be made, and we see the business going forward. You might, and the idea of changing partners seems to be something that might happen, but also, it's like the idea of looking at you, seeing you a part of this.
Say it again.
I get the impression the person you're talking about, the partner you have, I feel like after a period of time, this person will drop out, and another one will take his place, and the business will continue to go forward.
Oh, really? Okay. Why will drop off if somebody takes his place? We'll be talking about years, right, or so?
No, I don't see that happening anytime soon. No, I'm just saying it seems like business is just...
Yeah, well,
so I guess we've been in a situation being successful and going somewhere else.
Yeah, well, of course, I was thinking for me, like, this is really my first, you know, business, so to speak, and I was thinking eventually down the road to do something for myself, you know, in terms of taking a little more control. Right now, it's 50-50 relationship, you know, partnership, but I think eventually... Once I have enough experience doing what I'm doing and eventually probably move on. So maybe that's what you change, that you see.
Oh, yeah, most definitely.
Okay.
There's definitely some changes. Like I said before, I still see the business going forward.
Okay, sounds good. But it's funny that you say you see my partner dropping out. That's what you said, right?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Like I said before, I don't see it happening anytime soon. It's just one of the things you see going and progressing forward. I'm not saying you might do, not. I don't, okay. I feel like you're still going to do something for yourself. But I think it's the idea of taking on this freaking business 100% for yourself.
Okay.
I swear.
You said it's the idea of taking the business 100% for myself. Is that what you said?
Yeah, running it 100%.
Yeah. Well, I'm giving it my all right now, but eventually I know down the road, you know, it's just part of me, you know, moving forward, you know, after we have success, after a while, I'll probably do something else. But then, like I said, it's not around the corner. But my last question is relationship. You know, I have a really long days and I come home, I don't have anybody. So that would help if I have somebody in my life, you know.
The idea of actually meeting somebody in a relationship seems like it could happen in early August.
Early August. Okay, that's where we're going to meet. Wow.
I get yes.
Okay, so I'm not dating anybody before that.
I get a lot of things happening between then and now.
Say it again.
I said I see a lot of things happening between now and then.
Okay.
Almost like the idea your attention and your attention will be in a different direction. It's not like the ideal. It's not like the ideal of meeting people. It's just the ideal, the situation of crossing people's paths. But I just don't see any going anywhere because of all the stuff that's going on. And I think it's almost like in August would be a nice feasible time where you meet somebody, because things have a tendency to get more balanced and stable.
Okay. So I guess, you know, to answer my question, I'm just going to focus on the business for now and then just see what happens.
Okay.
Thank you so much. I appreciate your help.
Oh, you're welcome.
And you have a
good night.
Okay?
If you want to get a private meeting, please give us a call. I'd love to work with you.
Sure will. I appreciate it. Thanks so much.
You're welcome. Bye-bye now.
Bye.
Have a great week. All right. Spinning. That can drive you nuts in a way in such ways, I'm telling you. Those acts you're trying. Those acts are a thing on. Interesting. I had to try to find a chart. It didn't pop up. Oh, well. You could actually use those two as well. Oh, wrong one. Did it again. There it is, like with the root chakra. You can actually use these like little meditations. I am. Focus on your root chakra. I am. I am. Take breathe in. And go, I am, and feel it through your root chakra. Then we have the sacral chakra. I feel. I feel. I feel. Feel it going through your chakra. And the solar plexus chakra, too. I do. You know, it's like power and control. What is your power and control? It's the idea of following through. So you do. Feeling. What do you feel you should do in a situation like that? Feel it, yeah. You see, the throat chakra, no, it's our heart chakra. So heart chakra is I love. So there's also a simple meditation you can use open the heart chakra, but also connect with yourself. It's a little meditation. All you do is you bow your head. Focus on the space behind your heart. And focus, and then breathe in. I am love. As you breathe out. I am love. I am love. You should start feeling a vibration, and you should feel it going up, becoming more powerful. Which means that you are opening that chakra. You're balancing it out. That's a really good one. Then you go to the throat chakra, which is I speak. I speak. Some psychics have a tendency to use the one with the third eye, I see. And you'll say, well, I see. And you'll hear people say, I feel. And there are, a lot of people don't emphasize on those things. If you get Doreen Virtue's book on chakras called Chakra Clearing, at least you get the hard copy because it's got a CD in there. It actually covers the idea we should do a chakra clearing in the morning before we go to work or anything we do. And then we should do another chakra clearing before we go to bed so we can sleep. And it's the idea of looking at those situations and how much they're going to make a difference in your life. And the process of what you can do and how much you can sleep and the idea of being more rested. Makes a whole lot simple to me. Okay, so you look at the situation and ask yourself, I have third eye. What do you see? I see everything. It's the idea of teaching. It's the idea of teaching somebody to see everything for what it is. You know, to pay attention to everything that crosses your path, every little thing you can think of, and the idea of what is that all about. Find out. I see. It's usually what's happening here is you got a bunch of your upper chakras, like we got the heart chakra connects the lower chakras and the lower. The lower and the upper chakras. The upper chakras, if you really look at them, they're all about spirituality, aren't they? Throat chakra, third eye chakra, crown chakra, three, okay? And the idea of keeping your third eye chakra open and balanced with your third eye and your crown chakra, that you can really pick up on guidance. You can see it, okay? And then you can take it one step further and speak it. Makes you able to be very straightforward and to the point. You look at the root chakra, physical. Sacral chakra, physical. Solar plexus, like a physical thing. Power and control, appetites and desires, and abundance and prosperous and security. These are the worldly things we focus on all the time. And when we love ourselves unconditionally, with the heart chakra being completely open, you can see how the three lower chakras can work very well too, as well. But the love, which clears and balances, and the idea of sending out energy, and the idea of being able to send out energy in our intentions, will be like a magnet to draw them back to us. We take the three top chakras, put them together, and the idea of seeing things clearly, understanding things clearly, and being able to speak them clearly. So you can see how they all work together in the ideal of creating an environment of energy that you can actually send out that will actually make you like a magnet, and you'll get back what you've been, what your intentions are all about. Let's see. See, chakra energy centers, locations and meanings, they're located at the root of your spine. I should say the base of your spine, the root chakra. Sacral chakra, most people will put it about 4 inches below the belly button, or right around in the genitalia. Then you have your solar plexus chakra, which is right there above your belly button. The heart chakra is in the middle of your chest, right down there at the base of the sternum. And then your throat chakra will be where the two, where your shoulder blades come together, that little dip right there, right in that area. Your third eye chakra is between your eyebrows. And also, it's the root chakra, if picture the chakra is looking like tornadoes on their sides, with the base in the middle and the tornado expanding out on either side. Okay, and taking energy, regulate it. Okay, but then when you look at the root chakra will be facing down, really because of the energy that comes from the ground upwards into the other chakras to balance them out, as well as the crown chakra at the top is basically the same way too. So it's like, right? It's like at the base, at the top of your skull, it's like seeing a fan coming in from the top of your head, facing downwards and upwards. Okay. And you look at all of those things and put them together, it'd be great. You'll see what I'm talking about, because it's like the ideal. Give you an idea, like the sacral chakra. It's around your spleen. If I help you better, more, help you understand the whole thing, what's going on. The heart chakra is, it looks like, Well, somebody's, and it's like a variation of a lot of people in this thing too as well. Like some people say the first chakra is the root chakra, second is sacral, third is solar plex, fourth is heart. But this one here talks about the idea of having a higher heart, which variations of the two, I think. Because on this one, it talks about the variations of the higher and the lower. Because you have the chakra. The fourth chakra is the heart, which is green. But then it talks about the higher heart, which is turquoise. And that's why some people see them both at the same thing together. Then you have the fifth chakra, which is the throat chakra, which is the throat. But on this one, it talks about the sixth chakra, which is between your eyebrows, being purple or violet. And then on this one, it talks about the seventh chakra, which is the crown chakra, being white, and the idea of opening up because of white energy, pure spiritual energy, too, as well. It's amazing when you start reading these books and all that kind of stuff, you're going to get all kinds of variations on the whole thing. So you might want to sit there and really look into the situation of all these things that you're going to be talking about and the idea of what you're going to do in the process of manifestation, because the idea of getting all the information and knowledge you can get from different perceptions and that kind of stuff. So what you come up with. And then after you do that, just kind of like let it resonate with you. Because I did the same thing before when I did palm readings. I read the book, then the whole freaking thing, and all of a sudden there was something about the whole situation that just kind of freaked you out that some things on an individual basis, it's like freaking languages. You can translate, like the Bible's been translated twice from Hebrew and Greek, but some things don't translate into English. So you're going to get a different variation. So therefore, if you read a book, like some of the things can't be translated into English, then you get a different interpretation. I always say, you know, get all the information you can get, all the things you're going to do, and all kind of stuff like that. And at the same time, be open-minded to everything and anything. The process of always striving to, and working to detail to the individual. As I do palm readings, and there's a part of the palm where you do, I can find ex-husbands and ex-wives, and I've never really been able to find that in a book. But every time I've gone there and looked at the situation and focus what was going on, it tells me a story about ex-wives and ex-husbands, even to the point where I can actually look into the situation because it's between the head and the heart line. Which most of the times in relationships and the idea of breaking up and things not working out where you can easily trace it back as a lack of communication, but it was usually a lack of communication with yourself. So therefore, you were stuck between your head and your heart. And then on the palm, you can actually see lines that can point out why you need to listen to yourself and listen to your intuition. So you can actually avert those situations in the future. I thought that was kind of intense in itself. Let's see here. Heather, are you there?
Heather. Yes, I'm here. I'm sorry. I put it on mute just in case. I'm here.
Oh, no problem.
I'm here. Hello.
So how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. It's kind of hard sometimes to actually be here talking about it. Because right now I actually went and redid the shows a little bit and said, okay, today we're having 2 hours of angel readings and chatting about whatever. But we're also having the roundtable discussion today on how to manifest at will.
Yay, we're talking about manifesting.
So it's your turn.
It's my turn? Okay. So I have the most magnificent way to manifest almost. Well, I can't say instantly, but it's rather speedy. Anything that to put energy into whatever it is that you're creating. So, like dancing or jumping up and down and screaming at the top of your lungs. For example, if you want money, you jump up and down and you scream money, 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 money. or if you want somebody to call you or come into your space, a particular person, you would do the same thing and shout their name. We did that as my husband and my children and I did that. We couldn't get a hold of my stepdaughter, so my ex-husband's little girl. And we had several different numbers. We couldn't, they were disconnected. I don't know, there was all kinds of craziness. We were not able to get a hold of her. So we had all gone out into the country so that we didn't disturb anybody else. And all five of us were jumping up and down, screaming her name, and they called us the next day. And it was really awesome. Another one, same, you know, my ex-husband and I, we were trying to gather money for a move that we had to do. And so I told him, I was like, okay, in the car on the way home, I want you to scream money, 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 all, you know, as much as you can. And I went downstairs to the basement, and I was jumping up and down screaming, money, money, money. Well, his mom gave him $100, and my mom gave me $100, just out of the blue. We never asked them for money. It just, and so it was like, whoa. It was so awesome. And it was like the next day or two when we hit, yeah, it was pretty awesome.
Uh-huh.
Anyway.
Yeah, it's always awesome.
Well.
When you manifest things like that, it also may happen.
Well, you know, like I said, when you put the energy into it, and it's the more energy that you have. You know, okay, on that subject, they do say, at least I have heard that in the middle of an orgasm is the most intense amount of energy that a person can have. And that is the best time to create, the best time to manifest. And that actually goes back to the Magdalene Manuscript.
I know, but how are you going to sit there and you're in the middle of this, I guess we say, session?
It's possible.
Are you actually going to be able to think about what you want to manifest at that moment when you're thinking about what is happening at that moment too as well?
It's possible.
Okay.
It's possible. All things are possible. Just remember that. You just have to be focused. You have to know what you want. And another thing, okay, one of the an experience that my aunt and I had. We were sitting in a dyad, and she was screaming at me, what do you want, what do you want, what do you want? And so I started going through all of the things that I wanted, and it just started coming out. And I just started seeing all of these things, and matching towels for some reason was one of them. I don't know, and blue carpet. But, you know, I ended up getting all of that stuff eventually, but no, there's all kinds of ways. It's the higher intensity, you know, the more energy that you have in it, your intention. You absolutely have to set your intention. What is it that you want? You know, going through all of my struggles, I have a friend who is, I think it's pronounced Qigong. It's an energy work. Am I saying that right?
I think so.
I'm not sure, but it's Q-I and then G-O-N-G. I think that's right. Anyway, so he does these sessions, and they're distant healing. Anyway, so I was talking to him on Facebook and asking him for different ideas or suggestions, ways for me to work through my nonsense. And he said, well, Heather, you set your intention every day. What is your intention? Do you want to get through this? Do you want to be over it? Yeah. So everything you do, you have to, your intention is vital. What is it that you're wanting? What are you creating today? There was another experience that I had. I was in a room full of, there were probably 80 people in there, maybe 100. And there were about 7 of us girls who were going to belly dance in front of all of these people. Never belly danced before in our lives. And we were to each stand, step forward and state what we were going to create. And one thing that I said that I was creating was, well, I said I was creating sensuality and beauty and power. And I did absolutely create that. But I started out with my intention. And then everything just fell into place. So it's, you know, there's a lot of people that talk about, well, you know, pictures. Put, if you want a BMW, you put a picture of a BMW where you see it every day. Write on your mirror stuff that you want to, your goals, your dreams, your why. Why am I doing anything in my life right now? What is driving me? And so let's say, well, one of the things that I want to go to Ireland. So depends on how bad I want to go to Ireland. Is that enough to drive me to accomplish my goals? What can I create today to get closer to that goal? I don't know. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, I've been doing the same thing, too. The idea of trying to attract enough money to get some things done, take care of that kind of situation. Let's see what happens with that whole thing. But I was just... Mm-hmm.
Now, you do that quite often. You'll say that you... Like you were telling me today, I'm gonna make $10 and then I'm gonna go home. As soon as I make $10, I'm gonna go home, and then it was just one after another. They started flowing in, and so that was your intention. So you've already done that, and you just get to keep elaborating or keep expanding on that, and just keep building on it. It's wonderful. But one thing that you can do in the morning is say, today I commit to making $100. Today I commit to making $500. I don't know, whatever serves you. Today I commit to helping 10 people. Today I commit to touching 10 different lives.
Yeah, I've always seen that, it's kind of variations in the days, I think. And that one day where I sit here and said, I'm going to make $400 a day, and then all of a sudden just one after reading, one after another, you know. And then there's other days where it's like, there's a different tone to the people. Where it's like looking at the situation going, I think we should be just focusing on service today. Because there's a lot of people that need a lot of help in a big way.
Yes.
Well, I mean,
service is huge.
You know that? Yeah, when we rhyme things, like I was sitting looking at my journal, and I was sitting writing some things where it was like, I have a very successful shop, doing readings every day, doing great service in a wonderful way, with wonderful pay. Hey, hey. you can be...
You do that all
like,
the time.
Like we have elaborated just a little bit on the hey, 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 but you know. It depends how you want to do it. I just think the more you make it fun, the quicker it happens. And I've actually been kind of doing some different variations on the thing, too, as well. Some days it's just simple. I'm happy. And I always do the I am. I am so happy and grateful. And then whatever after that. Mine
well, you
is
know
to do
that,
20 readings a day.
You know that when you speak I am, it's speaking about the God within. And that statement is so powerful. It is extremely powerful. I am. Well, it talks about it in the Bible.
Well, it's like that, yeah. I am powerful and prosperous. And I declare $400 today. That's powerful.
There you go. One of my affirmations is money flows into my life from expected and unexpected sources in abundance now. I use this money to serve my family in the light. I gratefully receive and acknowledge this abundance now. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
There's
a, and so it is. and it does. That statement has served me so greatly. There's so many things I don't have an explanation, a logical explanation as to how I have accomplished what I've accomplished in my life financially.
Yeah.
I really don't. And my kids will say that to you. My daughter's like, Mom, You always make things happen. Always. Well, thanks, Tori. You can too, darling.
Yep, so, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So there we go.
Yes, it's kind of crazy. So therefore, you pretty much got what you've been focusing on with the ideas of things we're going to do pretty much in the bag, huh?
Yes. Oh my gosh. I'm sorry. An idea hit me. Ah, okay. So there is a scripture that talks about having an eye single to the glory of God. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now, for me, you can go really, really deep with that. It is not just about focusing on the glory of God. He wants us to accomplish all our everything. He wants us to live our magnificence. We are part of Him. And so achieving our goals is honoring His glory. Totally, completely, 100%. Loving ourselves, that is huge. That's a huge honor to Him.
Mm-hmm.
So, having an eye single to the glory of God. Let's see, if I'm going to achieve what it is that I'm supposed to do here,
mm-hmm.
using that statement would be, okay, so for example, I'm a healer, and in order for me to have a shop to reach the people that I'm supposed to reach and to be that healer doing my work, being in my magnificence and honoring God, so having an eye, am I making any sense? Please assist me with this, because I'm really having a hard time getting it out.
Relax.
I know.
I think you're making sense.
I know. I get so excited about the idea of it. If I focus solely on getting my shop and making sure that I have that, and every single thing I do is all about that goal, wouldn't
mm-hmm.
that be having an eye single to the glory of God?
I'd say so. Because it says in the Bible, go out and be abundant and prosperous. So every time you're being abundant and prosperous, aren't you listening?
But at the same time, not only am I being abundant and prosperous, but and living my magnificence, but doing that, I am accomplishing my mission and my goal and my purpose, and therefore living truly, truly living that.
Did you go back? Did you? No, I understand what you're saying completely. It's just
Thank
the idea
you.
That you
Thank
need to relax.
You're not
so
coming out right. Oh, I got excited. There we go.
That's good. I mean, that's the whole idea of the show, the idea of showing people, not just telling them. And we experience it, and we have revelations on the show. So, you know, cause sometimes you got to sit there and think and focus and go, okay, I got to convey this to the people because it just happened. I was going to tell you about April 14th. April 14th was our last show, right? We actually did. We had 387 people who have already gone back in the archives to check those shows out. So if you don't get everything you need to know in this show, that kind of stuff, or maybe you didn't understand what Heather had said, I guarantee if you go back in the archives and listen to it again, you will. Because it's one of those things that's just the idea of taking certain things and the idea of expression. And God, I would sit there and say God experiences things to us in the process of things that we experience. So therefore, the idea of telling us to go out and be prosperous and abundant, every time we are prosperous and abundant, I think we're honoring that. And we're actually doing it. So therefore, we're actually listening too as well. So we have to, be abundant and prosperous. It's like put it in perspective and say, hey, you know something? If that was an order, would it make it easier for you to do it? Now, let's see. Also, on the 13th, April 13th, we had 96 people go back in the archives. And we also had, on the 12th, 94. So that's getting pretty intense. I think that one day kind of freaked me out. Well, actually, the 14th kind of freaked me out. But Also, on the 7th, there was 270 people. So people just keep popping back on the archives for a reason. And then on the March 30th, oh, shit, I went too far. March 40th, that's a big calendar.
March
anyway.
40th, wow. Tony, are you reinventing the calendar?
Why not? I don't like the way it
is. Why not? Time is irrelevant.
That's true. We just figured out about the whole thing. But actually, 401 people went back in the arcades on that day. I think the one that
Wouldn't
got
it be nice
you know, the,
to not have to... Sorry.
Okay.
I got lost in a little spot there.
Oh, here's one for you. On November 24th, 812 people went back in the archives. Whoa. Here's one.
Oh,
789 people.
I forgot that you were on the air at that time.
Oh, here's one for you. October 21st, 1,987 people have gone back in the archives.
Awesome.
And the first time I saw that, I had to go back over it. And then I saw another one for September 9th. It was 1,800, you know. So I was like, my friend said, I think they just do that to make you think you're doing something. Why would it be the variation like that? Sometimes I think people have to look at the situation, accomplishments, you know. Things happen all the time.
Yes, they do.
I don't care if it influences some people. That'd be a great fabrication, wouldn't it? My show is more successful than I thought it was. So they're now making tons and tons and tons of connections and situations and that kind of stuff. So like we said, it's declaring. Every time I do a radio show, I'm going to declare that I'm actually going to walk away with people. Five people contacting me for the 90-minute session special. Then what we do, this is the thing that gets most people in manifestations, is called the word obsession. When they have a tendency to get scared, where they think they have to keep repeating it over and over again. And it's the idea of putting things in perspective and say, okay, guys, last time you ordered something from a catalog, and we're saying on the norm, I don't want to hear from people saying, yeah, it took me five times. No. I think your life is all screwed up, and you need to sit there and work on some spiritual work to keep that from happening. Because in the true sense of things happening the way they're supposed to, you order something through a catalog and you get it. Plain and simple. If we keep everything that simple too, as well, probably the idea of what we're talking about tonight is the idea of manifesting things at will definitely start happening in your life. But it's one of the things you got to let go of the obsession part. You got to sit here and look at the situation because all I consider and tell people is the idea of the experiences I've had. And the ones that I would definitely notice that the manifestations that happen the quickest and the most surprising miracles, when people would call those things, is the ones that I checked something out. It didn't quite go the way I wanted it to at that time. Okay, but then the one thing I noticed was I forgot all about it. And was living my life, and then all of a sudden, in the process of living my life, which means we're going with the flow, going forward, because you really can't get those opportunities for those manifestations to happen if you don't keep going forward. And that was the whole thing. Like when I got my shop, I sat there and checked on it in March. They said they couldn't have it. I mean, this is the one that's the most exciting one, and a lot of enthusiasm with it. It's because they said I couldn't have it because they said the city wouldn't recognize it as a retail space, so I couldn't have it. And as I was walking away, I said, that's my shop and I want it. And then in September, I went cruising up there just for the heck of it. It's Manitou Springs. I'm sure there was a reason. But I went up here and there's a for rent sign right above the door. An impossibility that became a reality. So, you know, I think there's so many people going through my head right now. With their own freaking infractions and own problems. I just wish I had a witch wiper go whoosh, wipe it clean. This is like really crazy.
I really am beyond excited for our little project to manifest. I'm very, very ready for it to be happening right now.
Well, that's what I'm saying to you. I was talking about when I talked to you about the idea of how I've manifested those things. It's the idea of looking, because most people, that's I think that's one reason why we shouldn't tell people, because the people would see what's going on today and look at it as an impossibility. When I look at the idea that things can change, I've seen things change. Like, for example, 5 minutes, I was at the bus stop and saying, hey, you know something? I said, hey, God, this is, might sound like I'm lazy, but I just don't want to sit here and wait for this bus. I want to go home. So could you have somebody come by in 5 minutes and pick me up and just take me home? I don't care if it's a new client, someone I haven't talked to, a friend. You know, kind of open all the doors, right? And 5 minutes later, some girl pulls up and says, hey, Donnie, you need a ride? By the way, I do. You know, and it's like the more you keep doing it, the more you want to keep doing it, because there's so much excitement in watching things happen in the process of just speaking something out of your mouth. And every time you do it, you're also proving to yourself, I can continue to do so. So when something doesn't work out that one day, all you need to do is go back and look at your intentions, look at the situation. Are you letting any kind of fears creep in or whatever? So you get back to that strong intentions. I don't care whether it's affirmations, prayer, or whatever. It's the idea of looking at the situations and like that. Because I was sitting there looking at a book that sometimes you have to sit there and go, do some more exercises, clearing exercises, fears, insecurities, stuff like that. Are you looking for affirmations to get connected with yourself? The one that seems to be working the most for me is the idea I said today. I was coming up with this one where it says, I am loved, I am lovable, I am love. And then I had the other one where it was, I was born to be loved, cherished, and adored. And I changed it to, I was born to be successful, abundant, and prosperous. So therefore, I am successful, abundant, and prosperous. So you can take other affirmations you've seen on other situations and change them around to actually fit any situation. And then you had yours where I was like, here's one for you. I am infinitely, infinitely abundant in spirit. I have plenty of wealth, and my riches increase every day. And then I have a tendency, abundance is my natural state of being. I accept it now. Every day I am growing more financially prosperous. Thank you. I have this one. What did I do with it? I wrote it again. I'm doing over 20 readings of all kind in my wonderful shop, doing wonderful service in a wonderful way with wonderful pay. Thank you. And it all happens today. Hey. But, you know, some people get too serious with the whole thing. You know, instead of going, I want money in a great way. And the guy will be going, what are you doing? You're doing Shakespeare. Anyway, you know.
Well, and the whole point with our little project is that the main purpose behind it is to be in service, is to really provide something beautiful. And so I know it's supposed to happen. I've walked as I was walking to work. Well, let me phrase it this way. As I was walking to work, I had a vision of what was to be, and I'm very, very excited about it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so, it's one of those things that I want it right now. I know that things have to, you know, they do take time, and they do, you know, step by step, line upon line, precept upon precept, blah, blah, blah. Everything takes time, and everything has a purpose and a way. So, it is a matter of trusting. One, I get that. But like I said the other day, it is also a matter of putting in the footwork. I know there is work that we each both get to do to create it and make it happen. The universe can shift things around as we're doing things. You know, things will fall into place, but we're the ones that actually have to do the work. Is that That makes sense, right?
Yeah, that makes perfect sense, because when I first got those, when I first had those cottages the first time, I had gone up here, stood in front of that shop when it was empty, and I sat there and said, "This is, if this is where I'm supposed to do this at, this is where I want to do this, and if it does, then it tells me this is what I'm supposed to do." And I said, "I really want to do readings in the shop. I think it'd be cool to have that space." And a year later, that's exactly what happened, but there were certain things that fall into place. I was living with somebody at the time, certain things that had fallen, or some, which is, a lot of things wasn't falling in place at that time. But I did notice a year later, it all started with the idea of being homeless for about a week, actually about a week, I guess. I had a couple of people synergize some things, you know, like, you sort of start looking at patterns that happen, and you know, I just got to the point of saying, I'm not going to sit here and try to figure it out. I'm just sitting here looking at the situation of realizing it was something I'd already put out there intention. So I just started following it and listening. As most people call it, we call that first listening, not second guessing ourselves. So we just started listening and stop arguing and see where this was going to take us. So therefore, the first thing was, I was actually working for a hotel too at the time. And my boss at the time let me stay in one of her cabins for 2 days. But then I was sitting there going, I work at a hotel, and I get paid in 3 days. Why could I not stay there? So I was like, okay, instead of trying to figure it out, this is guilt to flow. So then I went out, I honored my commitment and said, okay, she said 2 days, no problem. So after I got done working that day and the whole thing was done and over with, I just went out and stood on the sidewalk and said, okay, where are we going today? You know, it's like my guys were sitting there going, so where do you want to go? I want to live in Manitou Springs. And they go, okay, walk that way. Because I was down, if I'm not mistaken, I was down by Safeway. And I was sitting there focusing on the whole thing. Where should I go, you know? And then they said, where do you want to live? I said, Manitou Springs. They said, start walking that way. So I started walking that way. I got a little past, a little ways past Safeway, and there's this hotel. Out of all these hotels, I was trying to figure out why this one. But instead of sitting there saying why, I said, okay. So I went, and I did kind of argue a little bit with my guides. They were sitting there going, okay, go to the hotel. I was like, yeah, but I only got $17. It's $35 a night. And they started saying, I thought you said you weren't going to argue anymore. I said, I'm not. Maybe I am. And I stopped again, you know, stopped and listened and said, okay, fine. What happened was, it was a previous memory had gone through my head of doing something similar to that. It had a good outcome to it. So I sat and listened and said, okay, let's do this. And so I shot down, went into the hotel, and I told the lady, I said, I was wondering if you could actually give me a room until Saturday when I get paid. Well, actually, I said Friday. I said Friday until I get paid. And I sat there and talked to her and told her what would, and it was kind of what my guide said, tell her everything. Tell her the person you were living with, the situation, that kind of stuff, what put you in the situation in the first place. Just do the whole thing, right? So I sit there and talk to her for about an hour. And then she finally said, I told myself I wouldn't do this again, but I'm going to give you a room. But if you don't show up on Friday, your stuff will be out on the street. Okay, no problem. I know I'm going to be there Friday. No big deal, right? I wasn't there on Friday. I had gotten caught up. Well, at first I was working. And then those other variations, right?
Yeah.
And it's amazing how people say things, but in the process of this whole thing unfolding, nothing's going to change it. Even with that statement that she said, because when I got down there, I didn't get down there. And when I did get down there on Friday, I think she had forgotten about it because she wasn't there either. So I sat there and said, I looked around, and looked for my clothes to be out on the freaking street, right? No, I actually went in my room. This is why I'm always talking about miracles happening and the whole idea of how the scheme of things falls into place. I go in my room, everything's still where it was when I left. Even my room had been cleaned and my bed was made and new pillows. So, you know, you look at the situation like, okay, let's just keep going and see where is this leading us to. But like you said, the universe always has a reason for doing everything, and you just have to keep going with the flow to figure it out or just to experience it. Because what I did is, I met her husband, and the same day I declared I wanted to work in that shop, I also declared where I wanted to live at, and that was in the Barker House the first time. And I found out that her husband had just taken over managing the Barker house. So I was like, okay, I'm starting to see a pattern here, you know? So we went through the flow, we did the whole thing. And then I moved to Manitou Springs. Not too long after I moved to Manitou Springs, and the lady who had the hotel, well, that was another miracle too in itself, because I mean, I got to stay in the Barker house the same, almost like the same way I did with the freaking hotel, because it's on a bigger scale, because it was an apartment. And Leon was kind of crazy about it, because he was like, he must have been intuitive too, because he actually, his wife came down one day, and I was standing at the hotel, and said, he's got 5 apartments open, you want to go look at apartments? Yeah, let's go look at apartments. And back in my head, I'm going, I have no freaking money. I haven't saved any money yet, you know? So I was like, and the guys and angels are going, keep your mouth shut and just go look at some apartments. You never know what's going to happen. And I started thinking about when I got the hotel room. So I said, you know something, just keep going. There's something going on here. So I sit here and said, okay, no problem. Let's go look at some apartments. So we go look at apartments. I found this perfect apartment, which I didn't realize at the time was it equaled 11, which I didn't know at that time either. It was like my master number in numerology. So I was like, I like this. 11's my thing. Why? I have no idea. So I sit there sitting in the apartment, and the one thing I kept on saying to myself all over and over again, I would love to have this apartment. And so I said, I would love to have this apartment. I would just love to have this apartment. And then Leon looked over at me and says, what do you think? I would love to have this apartment. And he looked right at me and says, you don't have any money, do you? I was like, he must be intuitive too. It freaked me out, because I sit there and I thought he was mad at me or angry or something. He was looking around the apartment, looking around, and then he walked out. I'm like, oh, I wonder if I actually said something, you know? He comes back in about 10 minutes later, and he says, I have a deal for you. And it, for some reason, in the back of my mind, a little voice went, we were waiting, you know? Because that's what's been happening so far. So he said and told me flat out, you can have the apartment. All you have to do is finish painting it, because my freaking maintenance man's drunk again, and he's not here, and I need to get this finished. So if you finish this apartment, finish painting it, you can move in now, which was, I think, was the first week of November. And then when December came around, they were having a special at that time where all you had to do is have $99 for the deposit and just move in. So since money had never really exchanged, I could still do that. So that's what I did. And I actually got 2 months to get on my feet, which was kind of crazy in itself, but I did it. I wasn't going to say no. That's the thing, too. Once you put yourself in one of those situations, don't say no. Just keep going on. Keep moving until it actually plays itself all the way out. Because what happened later on was I moved into the apartment. I don't think it was... I want to say about a week or two weeks later, my landlord and his wife were walking around town like they used to do. They come walking by that shop, and a lady had gotten an apartment, and they'd rented it out, and they were actually looking for a mail reader. My landlord and his wife come walking by there, and she said they would start up a conversation and started talking and stuff. And she said, I have the perfect person for you. Phone numbers exchanged. The next thing I know, I was working in that shop. Now, I'm not going to sit here and tell everybody. It's like one of the situations of telling people. Don't sit here and basically grab onto words, times, and phrases. And so this situation played out the way it was supposed to happen in the best interest of me. Okay, and the situation, the things you're manifesting, they will also do the same. So they might actually happen sooner or quicker. It's the idea of perception, because I also looked at that whole situation of certain things that were going on, like the point of being homeless. Was the idea of not listening. That's why I decided in that day, because I was sitting there going, every time I listened to my, it was kind of funny too, but I was sitting there saying the same thing. Every time I listened to my guides and angels, things always get better. Now, how did I get to the point where I was homeless? It's the idea of not listening and trying to do it your way. And I tried to do it my way, try to have everything I wanted to. First and foremost, I was having an affair with a woman, which I would never have done, but for some reason I was in a situation where it's kind of easy how you get caught up in the situations, thinking they're going to change or someone's going to basically honor what they're actually saying and do it. And I was trying to give her the benefit of the doubt, and every time she put me in a situation, it never would. I always ended up somewhere. one time I actually ended up working for the carnival in Colorado right at the beginning of spring where it was still snowing and storms. I remember the first time I worked for this carnival, actually, this lady had thrown me out. It was kind of funny because she had got me these things for my birthday, which was around April, had got me all this stuff. And I said, "You're strange. Here you have bought me these things I've always wanted, you know, as a surprise. At the same time, you're basically saying, you have to go, I'm throwing you out." I said, "You're a crazy woman." And it was like one of the worst days of the year, too. It was like snowing. It was raining. It was sleeting. It was cold and all get out. I remember I went to the freaking carnival. They were down at the Cinnadale Mall. And they were having a good time. I'm doing all the things. And this guy was like, "You sure you want to do this?" I said, "Yeah. I'm going to freak her out because I'm just going to take off at the carnival for 6 months." Because I knew she threw me out for a reason. She threw me out so I would be put in a situation where I have to come back to her. Where she always wanted to feel inferior. You know, not inferior, but she wanted to feel like, she wanted me to make me feel like I was inferior. So she was always, you know, on top, and she knew exactly what was going on. So I said to her instead, it was like one of the situations saying, "Okay, let's look at the situation." And I started listening. And that was one of the first listening. So I guess we could trace it back a little bit further than that. But it was just like the idea of looking at the situation. So what is the solution? Every time we go back to a certain situation, it doesn't pan out. And you feel controlled, and you are not really feeling that you really want to. You're doing what you want to do. You're making decisions because either, well, mine was like, there was some money coming in. There was a situation. She had a $500,000 house. That could have been part of it, too. But you're letting all those things basically dictate to you that those were more important than yourself. So, therefore, the whole scenario played out just like that. That's why I was put in the street in the situation, because I wasn't really doing what was best for me. I was doing what was best for everybody else concerned. You know, not wanting to rock the boat or nothing like that. I got some, man, there's not much money coming in. Just, you know. But, man, I swear, when I get the shot the first time, and it was great. You know, I worked for the carnival for a little bit, and then came back and did my little thing. But I think it was great to actually make a decision and do what I wanted to do, but it also helped me figure out some of the things I've done in the past. Of what did I do those things? But I had experience. I walked into the carnival. Most of the times when you work for carnivals, they're like a bunch of places. You got to pay your dues before you can actually get off the kiddie rides. I ran the kiddie rides for 2 days. And the next thing I know, because of the experience I had, I was actually running two major rides. The Kamikaze, which is a huge ride, and the Zipper, which is another huge ride. And I think there was another one in there, too. Oh, it was it's a big-ass boat. But everybody was... I'm just saying, one of the things, again, I could see people's attitudes. And I love the idea of the cold cut, because I came in there, and these guys were like, "You sure you can do this? You sure you know what's up?" And I started doing my work and started doing exactly what I knew to do with all the experience I'd had. They just looked at me like, that's never happened that quick. We've never gotten that right this quick, or all this other stuff, to the point where just progress really fast. And they actually were kicked off at me when I left. I love that kind of scenario. People are going, "No, don't leave." Why? I can't hack making $295 a week. I'd already made too much big money in the idea of my talents and skills. So therefore, I knew what I had to do. And I finally got back there, because it was like when I worked at the shop, when we first worked in the shop, the first 2-3 weeks, I mean, make $750 in 1 week. That was actually like 3 days. So it's hard to go back. And you shouldn't have to, because if you do, it's because you've lost faith in yourself. That's what I did. So we did the shop. I worked with a lady, and a month later, she came to me and asked me if I'd be her partner. All I had to do was pay my part of the rent and utilities and stuff like that. And I basically was a partner in the whole thing. And I told, it was kind of funny too, because the lady I was living with, who was giving me all the trouble, told me all the stuff that I would have to go through to get that freaking place. And I said, "No, it's not going to happen that way. I don't know how it's going to happen, but it's not going to happen the way you think." And she was like, "Oh no, that's just the way it goes. That's how business is." Well, goody for you. She didn't like my attitude, but if you look at the situation of having trust in oneself, it didn't happen the way she said it would happen. Now, I'm a very good business person, too, so when the lady came to me for this proposal, I said, no problem, but it has to be done in black and white. It has to be done on paper. There has to be a contract, or I'm not doing it.
Well,
and she said, no problem.
Create your boundaries.
Yeah, exactly, because, you know, once you start following your guidance and you see all the good things that keep happening, even the craziest things that come to you, you start saying, no, I got to do this. So they came to me. So she came to me with this whole scenario. Then my guide came to me and says, this has to be done legally. It has to be done on paper and that kind of stuff. You'll find out later why. Okay, no problem. So I told her. She told her business partner. Her business partner drew up a contract. We signed it. And then kind of several months later, I don't know if she was pissed off at the world or what, but she came in and she was like, I don't know what you think you are, but you don't own half this job. I said, well, I'm sorry, but a piece of paper says I do. So therefore, until otherwise, you can say what you want. It was her way of trying to control the situation. But like you're right, like you said, yeah, there was boundaries put out there that she couldn't do, couldn't violate. She couldn't use me. I think I thought more about. I never really got a lot of good luck with Virgos. They all seem to want to control me and just do all kinds of wild shit. The only Virgo I get along with is my sister. She's a Virgo. But it's kind of funny we're all...
My daughter's a Virgo.
Huh?
I said my daughter's a Virgo.
Yeah, my daughter was born August 26th.
Okay.
1971. I think the reason we get along because we're exactly 10 years apart.
She was born in 1971?
Huh?
Your daughter was born in 1971?
No, I said sister, I think.
Oh.
I meant to say sister.
I was like, what? Wait a minute.
she was born before I graduated, yeah. That's kind of crazy because I didn't graduate until 1980. Holy cow, that'd be crazy, wouldn't it? Anyway. No, my sister was born August 26, 1971, and I was born April 26, 1961. So we're exactly 10 years apart from each other.
Okay.
The other ones are all whacked out. No, but we did the whole freaking thing. We did this whole thing with this shop and everything, and it was so great because it's like taking a step back and relaxing when all this stuff's going on. Like today, my biggest thing today was the ideal. Why are things not happening? Maybe even complaining about the weather too much. There seems to be some kind of a tone to the people and that kind of stuff because some days are irritating when you have all these people who are just fascinated with what you do but won't allow themselves to cross that threshold, right? So in the process of us sitting here talking about this on this radio show, I'm sort of looking at the situation going, okay, it's not their fault. There was some kind of perception I had today that was blocking things from people walking that door. It's pretty obvious now when you look at the situation of all these people who are fascinated with it, but the one combination they had with them, they used the word fear, or I'm scared of this. So I'm thinking it's one of those situations. It's April. My birthday is coming up. When I had the shop the first time with Lonnie, it was April. And all this stuff was going on. I guess it was one of those things where you have to let go of things, you know, certain insecurities and stuff that might still be floating around. And the idea of causing a blockage in the idea of the flow of your finances. Because you got the skills, you're there every freaking day, you got everything pretty much squared away. I was saying the other day, I got to set some intentions, more different intentions, because I keep accomplishing my intentions. But
okay,
I definitely got to put myself in.
So instead of focusing on the money aspect of things, today I commit to creating an opportunity to speak to somebody about accomplishing this or how to obtain this or, I don't know, because it's not always about money. It's also about working with the right people to make things happen that we get to have happen.
So when are you going to drop in?
I'm sorry?
When are you going to drop into the shop? We get a lot of traffic. We get a lot of group readings when you come in the shop. The only time we haven't had that is the last time you were there and you were too fascinated with
your
phone.
I will be there Wednesday.
Okay. But you notice that one day I was, because I was, this is a prime example too. People think they miss opportunities, and they don't, because it was a prime example that when we sit in the shop, we did this reading for these group of people, right? The very next day, these other group of people came in and said, well, we really want to get a reading yesterday, but you were busy. So this tells people, if it's meant to happen, it will happen. And these people came back the next day, and they were the group of people that people were kind of ticked off at, because they couldn't get a reading. Plus, the ideal situation as we get closer into the summer, sweetie, there has to be some kind of organization going on there, because
exactly.
You see how this is like, we're still in the winter and spring months, and we're getting a lot of traffic already. Can you imagine when we hit into full gear and tour season?
Well, that's where the blue section will come in wonderfully. Anyways, I'm just giving away too much information. I'm so excited about all of it. I just know it's going to happen, and it's going to be amazing and wonderful. And the energy. Okay. Do you know, I had to open the door to the store today because I couldn't handle, I felt like a bird in a cage. It drives me crazy. I want to be out. I hear all the, you know, the bikes are going by and there's people everywhere. And I'm like, oh, I just want to be out there. So it's really hard for me to come and sit in the shop because there's so much energy. I can hardly sit still. I really don't sit still well.
Well, I'm just telling you that what I've done before, too, is if you've seen me, I can't really sit still either. But I've worked on certain things where I know if I sit still and kind of channel energy, I sit there and I start focusing, clearing my mind, and then I start imagining like a magnet and feeling the energy of everything coming to me. And for some reason, that energy kind of grounds me, and then I'll sit to do readings. And after I do readings, then I decide that I got to go take a walk. So it's just ways of finding things to balance, channel your energy in the right direction, what you got to do with it instead of being all over the place. Believe me, I've had my situations where people said, you know, you just can't sit still. So people are kind of baffled to come by the shop, and he said, wow, he's just sitting there. My favorite when people go by, you look bored. No, that's your perception, not mine. I'm just sitting here taking the day in. And I, you know, it's one of those things too. It's amazing that people, when they put themselves in a good situation, they got to learn how to enjoy life again, because they're so caught up in the rat race of pursuing, they don't realize what they're missing. And the ideal, if I had all the time in the world to do what I wanted to do, what would I do? And then you give it to them, and they go, okay, I still don't know what to do. So they got to relearn everything at the end. I say we always go back to being a child, because as a child, we had a tendency to think about what we wanted to do and then try to do it. And we used to get in trouble quite a bit. Oh, shoot, when I was a kid, we used to go climb. If my mom knew half of the things that we were doing, we moved up this hill in the country. We'd never actually really lived in a country like that before. We were in the woods and on a big old hill, and we're basically really isolated from everybody, and we liked it. Mom didn't. Mom was from the city, you know. But shoot, we sit there and did the whole thing. We went cliff climbing. I'm telling you.
Well, the mountains are, okay. So it's fun to be in the mountains. I love the mountains. Oh, my gosh. But I'm always drawn. I always have to be in the mountains. It drives me crazy to be away from them. But there's something to be said about the energy of the city. Oh, my gosh. Especially, like, New York,
mm-hmm.
Manhattan.
Yeah.
Oh. If I could live in Manhattan for, like, half the year or you know, a couple months at a time even, I would be ecstatic.
Mm-hmm.
I would love it.
I lived in
Jacksonville. It is so much fun.
Yeah. I lived in Jacksonville. Huh? Jacksonville, Florida is one of the biggest cities in the world, landmass-wise. But the city itself, that's what I was talking about before, that the lines, and you can take the boats and pull them up to the... They had docks and stuff where you could pull the boats up and inside the mall and go to restaurants and stuff like that.
Holy cow.
But yeah, I'm not knocking the idea of the city, but I would like to be able to go into the city, enjoy the city, and then go back.
Yeah, there's something beautiful about both, about all of it. There's an amazing something that you can get from each, from the city, from the little tiny towns like Little Manitou, and from the mountains, from nature, from everywhere. There's something beautiful, some connection that you can get to Source and Mother Earth as well, and to people.
Mm-hmm.
So everything is important. That's all. That's what I'd say.
Oh, wow.
Sorry.
No, it's not. I mean, I understand that because I've been in cities too. I mean, I've been in cities. We live, I think what saved me was in Florida was the idea we lived in the big, we lived in big cities, but we also had like access to the harbor or the bay. When was I was living in St. Petersburg, that's another thing too. When I was in St. Petersburg. I think my girlfriend at the time, she was freaking out too. I didn't just manifest. I was focusing on a 4-bedroom and bookshelves and the whole bit. You know, built-in bookshelves and that kind of stuff, and I found this house. And she was kind of like, how are we going to do this? How are we going to find this house? And I said, well, what we do is just put the intentions out there. She goes, well, we have no money right now. I said, what we do is we put out there, because we had money. It was just the idea we didn't have jobs, as she put it. She was looking at everything in a realistic way. And I said, nothing's ever happened in a realistic way with me, okay? So I said, I told her, someone's beeping the horn and they're pissing me off. Who would beep the horns in this town? Get the hell out of the car, okay? Anyway.
It's a Little Manitou and we live right on the avenue, so.
Yeah, so why are you beeping your horn, dude? I'm going to come on. See, we're on the right on the avenue, so I can actually walk outside and slap this guy. Anyway. I was sitting there going over the whole thing, right? So she said, well, how are we going to do that? I said, all we have to do is focus on, you know, the details of our manifestation. Okay, so now you want to put in there that we want to find people that will understand our situation and still be able to get what we want, right? So we go in this freaking place. And this was funny, too, because we used to go and find places because we would find places and would hear rumors about haunted places. So we heard about this haunted house. And on this haunted house, supposedly what happened was a person had been killed in the house. And this person who's renting it now, or had bought the house, was actually getting freaking decorating tips from the person who got murdered in the house. So that was pretty fascinating,
really?
About the whole thing. Yeah, plus they called it the Witch Cove or the Witch something, like something. Right? So I was sitting there going, okay, we got to go check this out. So we get in our van and we go zipping down there to go check this house out. So I was on 25th. In 51, in St. Petersburg, which is kind of like a combination between St. Petersburg and Gulfport. They're kind of like mixed right there, right? So we said, okay, let's go check it out. So we go check it out. We head down the way. We find the house, and we know exactly where it's at. We start kind of looking at things. So we decided to come. We decided to do it a different day. So we're coming back up the freaking road where we just came down. It started getting dark. And I just caught this freaking red sign out of the corner of my eye. And I said, I think I just saw a for rent sign. Turn around. So she turned around. Because I remember it was getting dark because I think I had to use, I think we had to find some kind of lighting so I could actually see it to get the phone number off the for rent sign. So we got the whole thing going on. I called the people up. And they told us about the house. Originally, what it was like, originally it was supposed to be like a 3-bedroom with a like office. And then it had built-in shelves. I like having windows that slide sideways. They had just replaced the windows a couple months prior to windows that slide sideways. They had a nice kitchen with a nice stone floor, stone tile floor, real stone and stuff. It was, and to me, I'm from Ohio, okay? So when you sit there and say two-bathroom, on a two-bathroom house, anything that's an additional bathroom, especially for a guy, is a bathroom, okay? I don't care if it's got a shower or what. I mean, as long as it's got some, you know, when we have a second bathroom, especially when you got 3 kids. And she had 3 kids. So, you're always, like, waiting for the bathroom, which was not one of the greatest things in the world when you really got to go. So we walk in this room, you know, so we scheduled a place. We scheduled time to go see this place. So we did. We did all this stuff. And then you walk down the kitchen. The kitchen had its own door with a big glass. It had a door with a glass window. I thought it was cool. And then you walk in the kitchen. The kitchen's long, but it had everything you wanted. I think it even had a dishwasher too, right? and it, as you walk toward the end of it, and the end of the house, it's got a kitchenette where you can actually have a table and chairs and that kind of stuff. And it's got the sun that comes in the morning. That was a fantastic house. It had 3 bedrooms, and what we did was, instead of, I mean, I like working in the confines of, it had, we turned the office into a 4th bedroom. So, see, it was one of those things that most people would sit there and go, well, it's not a 4-bedroom, let's go into the next one. I looked at the situation of looking at everything in that house and what kind of potential it could we do with the place where we actually turned it into a 4-bedroom, 2-bath. I mean, I was kind of fascinated by the windows because they slide sideways. So it's like the idea of looking at things, how, why do things have a tendency to fall in the time frame as they do? It's because there's other things that are falling in place behind the scenes that you're not aware of. And I think one of the things was the ideal of timing. But once they started falling into place, I started realizing, oh, the windows, these are nice windows. Oh, yeah, we just replaced those 2 months. So I'm thinking, that's probably why it took so long, because the windows had to be put in the house first. So it's like certain things are pretty much lining themselves up, just certain details that had to be refinished. And also I like having hardwood floors. It makes it easier to be grounded in floors and that kind of stuff. So I did. Had a big freaking front yard, backyard, had a planter and everything. I mean, it was just a huge house. And she was like, but it's like, I think it was, and see, I looked at the house. It was a 4-bedroom, 2-bathroom house, which most in that neighborhood go for about $1,200. We got it for $850. And with the deposits on the freaking house, deposit on the, you know, deposit, the rent, and the, It was a pet deposit because she had a dog. It drove me crazy with freaking deposits. Right? So I sit there going, so the guy told us this is how much it's going to be. So we were supposed to see this guy in 2 days because we were waiting for to see him, see if he's going to give us the house, right? All of a sudden he walks out the front yard and he takes it for rent sign and throws it in the freaking garage. And she looks at me and she goes, you think we got it? I said, no one's going to take their for rent sign out of the front yard and throw it in the garage if we don't have it. And I had a hard time with him too because he didn't speak English. I had to talk through his son. And I found out that his son used to own it, but he had to give it to his dad because he got himself into a financial scrape. So he could identify with us. He knows where we were coming from. We told him everything. So we're supposed to go back at the house, and for some reason I got the guidance came to me and says, instead of taking the $2,300, just take, or something like that, just take $1,850. And like I said before, he just started listening. So I told her to get $1,850 out of the bank, and then just to go down there. She goes, why? I said, I don't know. Let's just go with the flow. And she's like, oh, no problem. When you say things, I just have to, I'm starting to listen. I said, okay, good. So we get there, and the guy is talking about the house, right? And the house is really nasty. No one's done any kind of cleaning on this freaking house, period. I mean, there's still freaking you could tell the house had been empty for a while. It's Florida. So there's freaking insects everywhere. And I looked at the guy, and I was like, at first I tried to push it. You know, I felt like there was something going to happen, but I still tried to push it anyway by saying, hey, I want you to knock off some money off the rent and off the freaking total because this place is just nasty. I forgot the guy's from the Ukraine, right? He just says, just take some paper and throw over it. It'll be good. I said, okay, this is not good. Yeah, that's what he said. But, you know, in Europe, in a certain way, they do things differently, right? Okay, so what I did was I said, okay, no. Yeah, I just sit there and told the guy, I said, okay, no problem. We'll clean it ourselves. But I'm sitting there looking at the situation, and then we just forget. And basically what happened was I just forgot all about trying to push it and just started telling the guy. You know, she said she wanted to replace some tile. She wanted to place the stone and do some things in the kitchenette kitchenette. And I said, I want to paint one of the kids' room. I want to repaint our room. I want to refinish this. I want to redo the some of the lighting fixtures was pretty old, too. It was an old house. I mean, the wiring needed to be fixed. I said, I want to paint the outside. I want to do this. We want to redo the planters and that kind of stuff. All of a sudden, I saw him and his son talking to each other. He comes up to me, and his son goes, my dad said, if you're going to do all that work to the house, the rest of the money that you owe him, he says you owe him nothing. So, see, when you give up, or as I call it, let go, because people frequently say we give up. When I sit there and decide to just let go of the whole thing and just go with the flow and put my expectations of what I wanted to do with the place and started looking at this vision I could see, right? of the house being painted a nice green color. I love green. And the idea of certain things, painting the rooms. Her daughter hated pink, so the bedroom had to be painted because it was in pink. So it was kind of funny, too, because she liked pink, but she didn't want her bedroom to be painted pink. Okay, so it had to be painted another color. And then we had our bedroom. And it was just certain things, the light fixtures. There was a lot of fixing to be done in that freaking house. But I was looking forward to doing all of it, just imagining living there and the whole thing, you know. Just got two brand new cards, which I wish I could find a deck of cards somewhere. It was called the Diamond Tarot. It's a three-dimensional deck.
Hmm.
It covers, yeah, it covers.
Now that would be interesting.
Yeah, but it's not in print anymore. I'm still hoping for it to materialize somewhere because when I was in Ohio one summer, I found this metaphysical shop downtown, which wasn't there very long. But then again, I think it was there long enough for me to get those deck of cards back again because it's a diamond tarot, and it has three-dimensional decks on it where you can actually see dimension, colors, and it's your regular right-of-way deck, but it's done in a three-dimensional way. It covers the colors, you know, energies, moods, and all kinds of good stuff. But, I mean, you have to be a good reader to see these things within these cards, but just the idea of the three-dimensional thing, because they're done in threes, three sections. How would you put it? It's like looking into a room, and you can see the walls as you're looking into it. So it's got all this kind of a three-dimensional look to it. I can sit there and do a reading with a person just by pulling one card. It's fantastic, awesome.
Wow.
So I want to get this diamond tarot. I just got this diamond tarot. And it's the first time I had my angel deck, I think, angel cards. And there was a, everything was basically still going my way, but she seemed to be a person that this was just too good, and she had to do something stupid. That's all I can sit here and say. When you have a girl who says that she doesn't want to sit here and go visit her mother because she lives in the same town, and she feels like if I go see my mom, it's going to ruin everything. And she still does it anyway. And it was kind of funny, too, because I told her, I said, I'm like your guide and your guardian. And she goes, how do you know that? I said, emerald is my color for Taurus. And for some reason, we went to this psychic shop with dragonflies on it, which was her totem. And I said, well, this would be a good thing going here. This lady told her about everything and all the positive things that were going to happen and how she had to basically cut loose of her family because their goal was to ruin her life because their life sucked. Did she listen? No. But, you know, it's one of those things of seeing things, how people can go against readings and that kind of stuff and how bad that is. Because we were sitting there going over the whole thing, and I told people that even in this situation, I still, realistically, nothing harmed me. They tried. I mean, she tried to get me thrown in jail, and all, well, her mother did, trying to get me thrown in jail and everything else. And every time she did, her daughter always wound up in jail. I said, I think you should stop doing it because I think your daughter's getting ticked off. But she goes, well, you're the one that's supposed to go to jail. I said, not really. The person who's really in the wrong goes to jail. And guess what? Let's sit here and look at this thing realistically. She keeps going to jail. I thought it was so funny, too, because it's like I saw these things before they even happened, and she still wouldn't listen. And they still proceeded to go forward. So, for example, there was one day, one of the days she wanted to go see her mother. She had listened to the lady, the psychic lady. She had listened to her, and she had cut ties with her family. All of a sudden, Thanksgiving comes up, and she felt like, okay, after Thanksgiving, I think the kids have the right to go see their mother. I said, that's kind of funny. The kids said they don't want to go nowhere near her. I said, so what's up? And she's like, well, I want to go. But I don't want to go. I got to find my emerald. See, she had an emerald for protection. That's how I knew the connection, right? But with those kind of situations, you want to clear things up for everybody else who would sit there and look at the situation and go, okay, if that was supposed to happen, then I guess there's nobody else for you. No, there's always partnerships. It's always, I always call it, there's a person for everybody. If someone doesn't want to accept that connection and doesn't want to accept that, there's somebody who will, who sees you for who they are because they can see themselves. So the ideal, that person we didn't connect with at that time, just got to let it go. And do you really have to figure out why? Or just realize it just didn't happen. So therefore, it means on your path, you haven't found the right one yet. Or the right one hasn't come into your life or whatever. And that's why I looked at this situation, because it was one of those things where It was a really strong connection. Everything was going great. I mean, everything I always ever wanted to do. Manifestation, piece of cake. So when you have two people coming together, and there's got to be something there, or the ideal manifesting things the way they were. And even if my friend told me that she's a really good friend. At the time, she told me, she goes, everything that happened in you guys' life is because of you. You would not give in until your dream, until what you were focusing on would happen. And she was always fighting you on that, even though she would sit there and admit to you that since he's been with you, miracles happen all the time. So she had a really hard time changing her perception. And then it was reflecting in her life to the point where she wound up with nothing. And my friend said, you might have gone through some infractions and some crazy situations, but you always wound up somewhere. And once you cut loose that person who was doing all that craziness within your life, then you start realizing your true potential, what you created. And even in that situation, of all the things I had done with my positive thinking, always writing in my journal, always doing everything by the book, we have to look at the situation that I think I needed to listen more on why I needed to walk away from the situation where it played itself out. That it wasn't just one lifetime. It had actually been three lifetimes in the making to actually realize that that was a bad situation for me. Now since I realize it, God, we never done something happen again. Anyway, but it's also looking at the situation that when you look at those, no, seriously, when you look at the situation, when you have those kind of things that happen in your life with that kind of relationship, that when the one, I think it makes it easier to open up and to see the right one because there were so many things in there that was enjoyable. At the same time, you could see where you were doing all the work. So you have to look at the situation and say that person just wasn't on the same page because you're sitting there basically the author of the book. She's supposed to be a co-author with you, but at the same time, here you are. I've already written half the book. And then she'll walk back in the situation going, I want to claim, and I want to be a part of this too. So we did this. We did nothing. And it was good I had some friends that could point the thing out to me and say, no, you did this. And when she was on a, so when she's in a right frame of mind and she was focusing, it'd be great, huh?
Well, I got stuck on the her being a co-author. Well, what about her life and her book?
Well, but you look at the situation. She could have been a part of something great and special. She would just would have seen her own specialness, but she couldn't do it. So therefore, things happen and people got to move on. And I've realized the situation, too, because later on when I was trying to manifest it to come back together, it just never did. And I started realizing the reason it didn't, because I remember the process, too. I was trying to focus on the whole thing. I could accomplish and manifest anything. So when it doesn't happen, I don't look at anything else but myself. And I got into a situation where I also see people's true colors, too. I was staying with this, I was actually renting a room off this lady, and she had her son come back, and everybody thought it was a bad idea because he had a meth problem. But, you know, it was still his family. It was still her son and that kind of stuff, and she couldn't see who it was. And then they were so nice to me as long as I was paying the rent. And I didn't realize that at first. And then when I started having trouble paying the rent, I was trying to explain to people saying, you know something, you're looking at the ideal responsibility. You should pay that rent. You should do this. I think we should also have responsibility to ourselves to realize that this thing had played out the way it is when people have a tendency to stay in places too long. And it's time to move on in the process of not making that decision, not listening. Things will still continue to play out. But I also saw these people through who they really was. As soon as they wasn't getting what they wanted, they were the meanest people in the freaking world. They were constantly inflicting upon me that I didn't want to. I was being mean to them. I was doing this, I was doing that. Even though they had seen before in situations when I was behind the rent, and then the very first time I got anything coming in and how I do, I would always make up and take care of the whole thing. All of a sudden, I remember her son looking at me one day and going, you know something, you just have no intention of paying the rent. You don't want to pay my mom nothing. I said, you know something? Who gives a shit what you think? I know what's going on, and you do too. It's just the ideal of the situation of what you want. If mommy has money coming in, you're going to borrow money from mommy to go buy some meth. So let's be real about the situation. It has nothing to do with me. It has something to do with what you want. And my people go, really? Do you say that? And if anybody knows me really well, do you think I said that? Yes. And I told him flat out to his face, and I walked back to my bedroom, and then I started realizing something. I think it's time to go. Okay? And that's what I did. I just left. And after I left, it was so funny. I would run into people who would sit there and say, so where are you headed? Because I didn't realize how 2 miles when you're carrying bags, how 2 miles can be really long. But I also, I do the same thing with everything else to prove, I guess it's the idea of asking for guidance, right? We ask for guides, so we have guidance. Okay, so I'm going to hitchhike home. I said, is this the right way to go? I'm thinking to myself, okay, let's do this. If this is the thing I should be doing, then the very first person that picks me up hitchhiking will be somebody I just worked with in his warehouse, where we all got laid off, right? And sure enough, the very first ride I got was with a guy that I had worked with in that warehouse. How can you sit there and not look at that as something I just asked for and I just got? So they popped right into place. So I told me right then and there, too, was I really wrong in what I did? No, it was something that should have been done before I even got behind the rent, that it was time to leave. And I was trying to still make something out of the situation, but I was also hanging on to a situation of this one girl, that she might show up there. So I was hanging on to something that I should let go of, which told me I should let go of her. And what I did, I didn't just get a ride that time. I got, what was it? It was a Spanish couple that picked me up. They kind of freaked me out. I said, I'm trying to make it to Lexington. Lexington, Kentucky. Well, we're not going that far. We're only going about 20 or 30 miles up the road, okay? No problem. 20 or 30 miles up the road, whatever you can get when you're hitchhiking, you're good to go, right? So I was sitting there going.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, we're sitting there, we're driving, and I keep saying in my mind, I would love it for these people to drop me off in Cincinnati. Guess what? They dropped me off in Cincinnati. And then I sit there and talk to them. I was saying, they dropped me off on this one. They dropped me off. I should have been more specific, I think, of where to drop me off at. But they dropped me off on this one ramp where I had to go walking somewhere else. Well, I guess this one cop didn't have nothing to do, but maybe it was part of the scheme, too. I just didn't feel like I should pay a freaking ticket, but I was sitting there going, now I have to get to 22. Okay, Angel, just get to 22. Because once I get to 22, it's a straight shot to my mom's house. Okay, and I knew that. So I was like, so this cop pulls over and gives me a ticket for hitchhiking. I was like, I wasn't hitchhiking. I was just staying in here, which realistically, that's what I was doing. I had planned on hitchhiking, but I just hadn't done it yet on that point. But they got me to Cincinnati, and I was like freaking out because they're talking in Spanish. I'm like, maybe they're going to take me to the family. They're going to skin me for lunch, you know? But they took me to Cincinnati. It was good. But then the cop says, well, I can give you a ride to the next ramp, but I can't give you a ride to 22. Well, we went. So what happened? I said, no problem. Just go with the flow, right? Just get in the car and go what you got to do. So I did. The cop went to the first on-ramp. Oh, he said, I can't drop you off here. There's nothing here. You'll be back in the same situation as before. Went to the next ramp. Guess what? He drops me off on 22 and says, this is where I'm going to drop you off at because this is the only ramp I can find to be suitable for you. Well, thank you. That's all you can do. Yeah. So, yeah, but I told people, I said, this is, you know, we look at miracles, right? I also, when I was in Florida, I saw 73, I saw 22, and I didn't realize that 22 and 73 were actually the same until I actually got down the road and I started to realize what 73s were. And then I was like, saw all these numbers, and they all kind of played out themselves. And then I said, nonchalantly, angels, you know something? Let's really get really specific about the situation and go, I want to be dropped off at my mom's house. And some guy passed me by once. He gave me an umbrella. He says, I'm only going a mile up the road, so I don't think it'd be good for you. I'm saying, well, a mile? That I wouldn't have to walk? Yeah. But I just sort of looked at him and said, okay, no problem. But he said, it's going to rain. Here's an umbrella. So he gives me an umbrella, right? I'm walking up the road. It's sprinkling and kind of stuff. It never really did rain. But he comes back an hour later. And he's like, so, exactly where did you say you were going? I told him, and then he said, well, I'm going home. It's only a mile up the road, but it's kind of funny, too. I would say things like that, too. I said, a mile? I don't want to. I said, if I want to walk a mile, it'd be great. He comes back, gives me a ride. As we're driving his mile to get to his road to turn off, He asked me again. He says, where are you going? I said, Circleville. He said, how far is that? I said, probably from here, probably maybe an hour drive. And he goes, well, heck, I ain't got nothing to do. So let's go to Circleville. And he dropped me right off my mom's house. I even introduced him to my mom. So it's the ideal going, don't underestimate yourself and what you got to do. And plus when you're talking to...
I've had several experiences like that too. Well, I did light work to make things happen, but it was around houses that we wanted. There was a one house I fell in love with. It was a big old Victorian, you know, with the white picket fence and a big wraparound porch, and it was so beautiful and the brickwork and whatnot. And it had a great big tree in the front with a beautiful, the yard was beautiful, but it had there was a rope swing with a tire, and I don't know, it was almost so corny, but it was, you know, it was so picturesque, but I fell in love with it, and I wanted it, and there was a big for rent sign out front, and I was about glued to my window in the car, oh my gosh, I have to have this house, and I did light work on it. I could see us there, and I called the guy up. And when I actually went to go see him, he said, I'm going to rent this house to you. I don't know why, though. And I thought, that's very interesting because I do know why.
There you go.
Yeah, we were there for 2 years, and then he sold the house. But I loved it. I think we were pretty decent.
It's kind of funny. No, I had the same thing, too. When we got the house in Florida, that was a big thing. We had the big tree in the back, and the kids were talking about putting a freaking swing in it, rope, you know, the tire thing. And then we had I wanted to put a swing on the porch. And the idea of the wraparound, it didn't have the wraparound porch. But I was also thinking about certain things. I don't think this guy would have really argued about the idea of adding more things to the house since he had done so much remodeling to the house in the first place. So it had his, you know, it's like one of those things I always tell people, like potential and looking past the illusion to see all the possibilities of what's going in and what you can do and that kind of stuff. So it was kind of interesting itself. But it was interesting, I tell you. And it's kind of funny when I sit here and talk about these things too. And I've had a couple of 3 days where I was not too happy with how things turned out, but also started, you know, like having this conversation now and the idea of what I need to do to change the perception of the idea of focusing on intentions. Because I just started realizing that most of the intentions I've already put out there have already happened. And I had a friend of mine, Desiree, I talked to today, who would call me at the shop and say, I need to talk to you because she wants to get back into doing readings and stuff. And then she wants to come back on the road, come back on the show and do readings. And first thing I was thinking about was the idea of not really clearing things with you, but saying, hey, I got this friend who wants to come on the show and wants to do readings and that kind of stuff, and we're kind of like come in from time to time and work with us and do readings too as well. So, but I was sitting there going over, listening to her talk, and she was like, last time I talked to you, you had just got back to Colorado, and now you basically have all this stuff going on, and you got your own shop and everything else. And she goes, that is fantastic. I was like, tell me more. No, it's one of those situations. I get these kind of conversations, and these people I haven't talked to Desiree in probably months. And all of a sudden, they come out. I have days like this where I'm kind of like a little down about things. And people, friends I've known for years, will come out of nowhere and go, this is what you need to do. And they start telling me, or they'll just sit there and tell me how it's fantastic, are the things I've accomplished so quickly of getting away from Ohio. So it's a confirmation. Yeah, it was a good idea to go from Ohio, which I don't think I need a psychic to figure that one out. But the other things, too, was the idea of appreciation for what I actually have created and actually have done to the point where I can take it to the next level and the next intentions and start accomplishing those things, too, as well. And then, Senator, listen, you talk about this project, as you call it, we're doing right now. This helps me put more enthusiasm into the whole thing of seeing this thing very, very muchly. Visualize.
You know what? So, one thing that I got just sitting here talking, and I know that we get to, in our manifesting, we get to include each other in this manifesting, because if you're working on manifesting it and then I'm over here working on manifesting it, I feel like maybe perhaps we're kind of butting heads instead of working together. So if we just include each other in each other's manifestations and creations and intentions, then it we're working together to make it happen. Does that fit?
Okay.
Am I making sense?
Yeah, you're making sense, because I want to come over tonight with my creative visualization book, so we can actually put some affirmations together for both of us. And we can also watch these movies. I think
it's
kind of funny.
You're welcome.
I'm just saying.
Yes, please, by all means. And
okay.
I get to, we can put stuff on my dream board as well. So.
Hey, no problem. I think I have enough space on this freaking wall of mine to do something too as well.
Yes, you do, but
we can do it too. That's true too, but we could actually go over and take pictures of them. I didn't realize this. We could actually take pictures with our phones, download them to our computer, and go to the freaking library, pull up our freaking accounts, or have them email to us, and we can actually copy those pictures out and actually put them on a visualization, on your visual board or your angel board, whatever you want to call it. I just realized, because I was going to do the same thing with my accounts, where I have a tendency to go get copies of them, and
I didn't even think about doing pictures. Yes. Oh, I'm so excited. I can't wait.
I'm sorry.
Oh, my God.
I think we are doing the physical part. Don't you think we're doing the physical part here in some ways?
Yes, but we get to do more than that. It's a matter of discussing with, we have to be in contact with people. You know, there are other people that we have to connect with in order to
be in contact with people. We do have a couple callers. Anyway, but go ahead. I'm sorry.
No worries. I'm just saying, such as landlords or owners or whatnot, we have to be in touch with them so that we can actually make things begin to move forward and happen. So, there's a lot that we can do on our end without them, but there's a lot that we get to do on that end with them. So, anyway, you said we have callers that we get to take?
Yes, I was going to bring on area code 954, which is funny. It's kind of like 29. Area code 954. Welcome to the show. How are you? You're on the air.
Hi, how are y'all?
We're doing good.
Excellent.
Oh, thank you so much for taking my call. I was just wondering if I could just get a general reading. I'm just interested to see what the angels or spirits have to say for me tonight.
So what's your name?
Jay.
Jay?
Yeah.
I think we just lost Heather. Okay, that was kind of crazy.
No.
I was going to tell her about I've changed the format of the show, too. Actually, when you look at the pictures as you're watching our show page, you'll see her. She's on there, too. And we just had her, okay? And she's been doing the show for a while. So I thought I'd change a couple of things. But, the one thing I get the most with you is it's like focusing on somebody and the ideal. And this might sound crazy in some sense, but the idea of having faith in yourself goes a whole lot deeper. What is going on in your life right now? Because I see a lot of decisions.
Well, the most recent thing I think of is I'm doing my best to get back into developing a spiritual practice for myself and to be committed to it. I used to be real committed to it when I was younger. But I was in, I was in dogma during that time. And and so I used to be very passionate, very zealous. And my spiritual practice was like affirmations. I would take a lot of the biblical scriptures, put them on index cards, and I would just study them for hours, every day, hours. And, as my consciousness expanded and I grew, I left that behind. And I started dabbling in little things, meditation and different things. And so now I'm in a place in my life where I really feel like I need that stability and that foundation, but I'm not sure, you know, what really resonates for me, that makes any sense. I'm going to be doing the meditation, but, you know, I just feel like I need something else. What else could I do to just really start to build that foundation for me, to start really getting into a place to where I can manifest more frequently, and I do have faith and trust in myself and the universe.
Well, like I said before, the thing I was focusing on the most is the idea of getting work, you know, getting books and that kind of stuff like that. I've seen affirmations I really like, and I have a tendency to word them and reword them and redo them until they actually fit the situation I'm going through and how it resonates with me. And the more you start focusing on how things resonate with you, and the first thing you're doing is you're actually connecting with yourself even more and listening to your angels and guides. And plus, you're also being very creative. Now, the more creative you get, I've heard people say this a lot. Dolly Parton's one of them. She said when she's in the process of writing a song, that's when she feels the closest to God. And, the more you keep doing those things, it's almost like God has led you back in the situation of saying, remember, when you used to do these things, you're just going to have to start doing them again and start building that foundation back again brick by brick. And it's almost like you've been there before, so you're getting impatient of wanting to be there again, not realizing you're forgetting about the process that got you there the first time and how strong that was, so that when you was in a good place that you could do those kind of things. And you're getting back there, and you just got to give it a little more time. And the idea of what you're focusing on, because I've done the same thing. I used to read the Bible quite a bit on a lot of things. And it was kind of funny how you see things that people keep looking at as New Age, and I don't understand that term, but they're actually Old Age. And the idea of manifestation is something that's been going on for years and centuries and, you know, millennium. And when you start to look at the situation, it's like it's the idea of remembering one thing. The energy that Moses used to part the Red Sea is still here to be used to create those fantastic things within your own life. And when you start realizing the magic, and it's kind of funny, how can you not use the word magic in the situation of these kind of situations of everything that ever happens? I mean, you look at the situation, what is a miracle? A miracle is when you finally start thinking and following through what you really feel like you need to do. So now you've actually eliminated your mind and your heart together, where they're working together, and that's what you need to do with your spirit and your physical body too as well. So there's a lot of things that are going on. It's kind of funny. Some guy asked me today, I'm reading this book called Creative Visualization, and the guy goes, so what's that about? I was like, are you serious? You know, I had to think that question first. Are you serious? A book that's actually titled Creative Visualization, what's it about? Creative visualization. Now, if you sit and look at the situation of using that as an example, we can also look at people and realize one thing, that basically, realistically, we all have it down. Because we're always saying, how can I stop second-guessing myself? So we know where guidance is at. It's just that we have to retrain our minds and actually retrain our actions so we can start to the point of not second-guessing ourselves, because we always have a tendency to doubt ourselves. I was going to talk about the idea of Adam and Eve, okay? I think Adam and Eve ate the tree. Personally, I think it was a fig, not an apple, because we're talking about pretty much resonating in the Middle East. I haven't seen any apple trees in the Middle East. If you have, please tell me. I would like to hear that one. But also Jesus talks about in the Bible, and there's a lot of references to the fig tree. He uses the fig tree as how you can curse a tree as much as you can also bless it. But he's also doing it by what he says out of his mouth. In the Bible, it also says, basically, good and evil are determined by the tongue. Now, if you look at the situation, it says evil, good and evil, okay? It doesn't say right or wrong, okay? So when you look at those situations, when you speak from your mouth of hatred, that's how your life will resonate, and that's what you will manifest. When you actually speak from your heart, and people don't understand this point of view, I've said to girls going, I followed my heart, and I got this crazy sitch-and-ash boy. Okay, let's look at that freaking crazy-ass boy and see how it reflects you. Because that's what it's really doing. It's reflecting back at her about how she felt about herself at the time that she actually manifested this guy into her life, which can also tell us that you can manifest anything you want, good or bad. by what you speak out of your mouth. What we want people to do is what we're focusing on in the ideal of manifesting the good things. But you also have to determine what those good things in by feeling that in yourself, that you are a good person, that you do deserve those things. And that's why I get here in the situation that you feel like since you walk away from that path for a minute, there's a little bit of peace about you that's saying, I don't think I'm worthy. So you're having trouble. So it's not just the ideal of getting back to where you was with that foundation. It's also the ideal that you, back in that day, you felt really worthy of what you were doing, but you just kept on going, going, going. So you have to look at the situation again yourself. Don't listen to me, but listen to yourself and ask yourself, is that true or not? Because realistically, it doesn't matter if I'm right or wrong. It's the ideal if you're right or wrong within yourself. You can correct that. You can change that. That's part of your spiritual reawakening since you already had that awakening once before. I've seen a lot of people that have had the awakening before, and then when they try to get back to it, the impatient part there is, I've been there once before, and I should step right back into it. And some people can, okay, but it's also how much resistance do you have up because of what you went through in the process of walking away. There was a common denominator why you stopped doing it, and it was a lack of worth and a lack of self. So you say, you look at the situation right now and ask yourself, what would be the one key that would actually turn this thing around very quickly for you is to accept yourself for who you are right now. That actually gives me shivers thinking about it. So, you know, I always tell people, when you get those kind of shivers and stuff, it also puts things in perspective for you that you are the messenger and that you should also be listening to what you're telling other people too as well. You should ask yourself the same thing. You are a great teacher, and you'll be even better at it when you start listening to yourself. That makes sense?
I was going to ask you that question too about my soul's purpose, and I guess you just answered it.
Oh, by the way, Heather, are you back? I don't know if she is or not. Heather, I bet she's on mute again. Anyway, I just want to.
I'm on mute. I'm here.
Okay.
I tangled up in these ding cords on my phone, and I can't answer. And then my ding goes dark, and it's a touch screen, of course, so I have to. Me and technology are not a good combo.
There you go. Now, I was also going to say that there's two other people in the queue too. So I just want you all to relax and stay right there, and we will definitely get with you. So I promise we will get to you. So just listen to what's going on. Listen to certain things. You might actually get your questions answered without even getting on the air. If not, we can still do that for you. So stay right there. And Heather just got back. Because I was sort of looking. I was about to say something.
I was about to say something.
Right. I look down. I go, she's not there. So, yeah.
I know. It disconnected me. I pushed the wrong button, and it was gone.
So
I'm a little embarrassed.
So on that note, so I did answer your question about the ideal teaching. Your spirit, you know, the ideal of the situation is you really have a very good talent of absorbing things, taking things in, and being able to take that information that you've just absorbed and teach others. I'm just saying, don't forget to learn from what, because I've done the same thing myself. You know, it's the idea you can probably save yourself thousands of dollars in therapy just by listening to what you're telling other people. Because, I mean, I actually have a book on these cards that I have, and basically what it says is, you know, bless this, give me, be with me, bless me with great insight, so therefore I can see, hear, feel, and know, and that everybody who's in this reading walks away blessed. Now, the first couple of times I read that was, you know, I liked that prayer, and that's kind of summarized because it's a little bit deeper than that, but it was like, when I looked at the whole thing, I started realizing, it says, everybody, and bless everyone within the reading itself, and it's like, sometimes you do things for a long time, and you have a tendency to gravitate away from the whole thing and being so caught up in the idea of teaching others that you don't realize that you're also learning as well. And if it's just the way that people, say the people reject you, you know, you should look at the situation and realize that they didn't reject you. They reject themselves because they refuse to listen. So you should never take things personal. Because realistically, it's not about you. But then again, it is. It's to help them in the process of listening to yourself. It's like a crazy circle of energy that's continuous, which we call the infinity symbol. And that's because I was telling a friend of mine, I was like, when you look at the relationships too, right? I always felt like two people come together, you have two circles of energy. Those two circles of energy are representing the two people loving themselves unconditionally, and then they come together in a great relationship, and they put those two circles together, which forms an eight. But it also shows you how the energy flows between the two. But if you really look at the ideal with the angel of loving relationships, she talks about loving relationships. So everybody that you come in contact with in the situation of having that kind of relationship, that's what you should strive for, is unconditionally loving everyone. And anyone that comes into your life, no matter what they've done to you or who they are, just look at the situation. You can see things from their perspective, right or wrong, but you can still see why they did what they did. And then look at the situations within your own life. It helps you understand your own self, too, as well, because that person crossed your path. And everything and everyone who crosses your path happens for a reason. And it all reflects back at you about yourself. So, therefore, when you look at it, you can learn. But in the process of learning, if you have that continuous love between the two and all these situations, it makes it easier. You just sit there, and once you really do love yourself unconditionally, you find another person who reflects that back to you. So it's easier to open up and realize that every person, everything, every situation is teaching you something about yourself. And if you don't, then you just don't really accept yourself. So see, that's what I said before. The simplest thing you could do right now is just accept yourself for who you are. And you'll realize you learn quicker because you also realize one thing, too, in the process of learning something today, having a realization today, you're going to be a different person tomorrow. But I guarantee it started with you accepting yourself. Sometimes I wish I had a real radio show. I'd say, and now this calls for a freaking message from one of our sponsors. You know, but it's like you have these powerful messages, and I need a commercial just so I can resonate with it, okay? But I love them. That's like I said before. I think that's what I needed today. I needed to do this radio show, and I think I shouldn't have canceled the other ones. I think I should have canceled Thursday because I was really exhausted. But I think from that point on, I think I should have done the shows because when I do the shows, they just kind of regenerate me to the point where I was like, I know I'm here for the mission. And the idea that it's not just a shop, it's not just a show, it's not just other things I do, it's a combination of all those things. And you should also brace yourself for what's coming up with you too in the idea of teaching. Because we're sitting here talking about radio show, and basically what we do on the show is we do readings, but it's really a teaching format. It's helping other people do things. So we're actually going to do another show, I think Thursday, on more manifestations of actually working with people on clearing chakras, clearing auras, realizing there are certain things within our bodies, our minds, our subconscious mind that actually keeps us from manifesting because we're basically working against ourselves because we haven't done the work to clear those things out. So we have a straight shot at manifestation. But, yeah, I remember the same thing when I'm in the shop. When I'm in the shop and I've been kind of guarded lately because of a certain situation. I never realized it had such an effect on me until afterwards that I have to let go of that whole situation. And almost the idea of learning why certain people need to be cleared out of your life as clutter. Because if you make a point and say, okay, I'm declaring today, I want no drama in my life. And then somebody comes into your life and gives you that drama. It's one aspect that you need to let go of because you're still attracting drama. And then you have to basically clear that clutter and get rid of that avenue so it doesn't come in anymore. No matter if you like the person or you don't like the person or situations.
Uh-huh. In that case, you get to speak what it is that you want in your space, not speaking of what you don't want. Just like the law of attraction. If you don't want drama, you get to say, I get to call forth and create peaceful, happy, loving people into my space.
That's kind of funny how you sound, because you sound just like Esther Hicks, don't she?
No, I will take that as a huge compliment. Thank you.
I'm there. I was like having a freaking visualization there for me going, am I talking to Heather or Esther?
You know? Well, I think I'm blushing.
There you go. Do you have anything else to say, Heather?
Well, there's all kinds of things I have to say, but now I'm blushing so bad I can't talk. Thank you, though, Donnie. That's a very, very sweet compliment. No, but it's very true. If there's whatever it is that you want, you know, my very, very favorite quote, hands down ever, is what we think, we become.
Mm-hmm.
Buddha. And it is so true. So if we, and the law of attraction talks about that, if we think, oh my gosh, I have all these bills, I have all this debt, I have to work more hours so that I can make more money, so that I can pay off all these bills. That's all you're going to have in your life is constant debt, money going out. And so, you know, when we talk about manifesting, manifesting is totally the result of your law of attraction. You're attracting what it is that you think the most about. So what do you want? It goes back to what we were talking about in the beginning of this show. What do you want? What do you want? What do you want? What do you want? You know, you just think about the things that you want, not about what you don't want. And every day, like I was saying, my friend, my light worker friend was saying, Heather, what do you commit to creating today? What are your intentions? Every day, start out your day with your intentions. I do not want drama people in my life. Well, you're going to get them because that's still what you're thinking about. So think about what kind of people do you get to have in your space today? Well, I get to have happy, loving, cheerful people. And let me tell you, that's about all I run into in my life. Happy, beautiful, loving, cheerful people. And they just, I don't, but that's what I see in my world. And so everywhere I go, I see smiley people. Every once in a while, a crabby person will pass by, you know, and I don't even think they see me. And that's okay. Right. That's their journey. That's their world. They don't belong in mine. That's why they just pass on by. So there you go.
How about you, Jay? You have any more questions?
No, that's exactly what I needed. That's exactly what I need to hear.
Well, thank you. You're welcome.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I'm sorry. I'm psychic. I just knew you were going to say that. Anyway, but you know something? Find the strength within your abilities, and you'll realize there's a lot more to you. And on that note, I think you already left. Okay, let's go to area code 323. And this thanks Jay for being here. It was really nice of him to show up. So I'm glad we could help him out. I'm glad we actually had what he needed to hear. Area code 323, you're on the air. Welcome to the show, and how are you?
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I'm good.
No problem. What's your name?
Kahira.
What's your name?
Kahira.
Okay. So how can we help you?
Yes, I'd like to know what you see coming up for me. I really am ready for a change as far as a new job, and I'm not sure if that will involve moving to a new place. So I wanted to know what you all saw.
Well, the first thing I saw in the whole situation about moving, I get a yes, that you definitely should open yourself up to the idea of changing locations and the idea of moving. New job. You know, when you sit here and look at this situation, you focus on everything, too. I keep getting June. First part of June, I'm actually having this thing going on. So I feel like you should also relax a little bit in the situation. There seems to be too much worry. It's almost like unnecessary worry. It's the idea of having a little bit more belief within yourself that you know for a fact from what you've been prompted to do that you definitely need to change and you need to go somewhere else. And I think the reason you're being prompted is almost like your guides and angels are basically telling you this. So you just need to open up.
Okay, how do I stop worrying?
Well, the way I stop worrying is I start focusing on other things. or I'll sit here and look at myself and yeah, like I said before, your angels and guides are telling you things. And the idea of having more faith in yourself, if you are hearing these things and these promptings are happening before, and I have a tendency to take myself back to past things that have happened in the past that I know for a fact I've listened to, and it became a reality. So it helps me to stop worrying and start realizing the worry itself is probably causing the barriers that it should have happened sooner. So your date time could actually change from June to being even closer to the end of May. But it's just the idea of changing your perception and letting down the resistance and say, yeah, this is something that definitely needs to happen, and I'm ready for it. So some people say, I'm ready for it, but I want people to take the idea of saying, okay, I'm open to receive. Not that I'm ready to receive. Opening means that at that moment, you have your arms wide open, waiting for it to drop in your lap. When you say ready, it's like you've seen things before, where, like cheerleaders, ready, and they pause. And that's the pausing part. And then they go right into the chair. But they want you to get past that pausing part to say, okay, I'm ready now. It will change everything for you.
Wow, that was really helpful. Can I ask another question?
Sure.
Something I also worry about is meeting someone like, I guess, a partner. And what do you see as far as that's concerned?
So what kind of partner is this?
Oh, romantic. I mean, like a life partner. I chose that word instead of, you know, just because I'm
so about someone. You want someone to share your day-to-day journey with.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And have that romance there.
I sit here and say, look at the situation like this. Everything happens for a reason. If you're getting prompted to move and you're getting prompted to go to another area, it's the idea of focusing on your life and what you think you should be doing. Okay? And then you can be an example to a person that if they feel like they need to do the same thing, first and foremost, you'll actually communicate about it and then it will happen. Because the thing is, we're not responsible for nobody but ourselves. But in the same sense, we are responsible for the things that we do for ourselves, have a tendency to reflect back to others to help them. Not what we tell them, but it's how we actually live our lives that tells them all the things they need to know about themselves and the reflection. So when you start to look at a situation like this, don't worry about it. That's what they're saying. Unnecessary worry is the idea, well, if he doesn't do this, well, if she doesn't do this. It's all these things go back over he or she, you know, and you're sort of going, what are you doing right now? You're caught up in worry. In the process of being caught up in worry, first and foremost, you have a lack of faith within yourself because you're not focusing on yourself. You're focusing on those fears. And when you sit there and let those fears go, I've seen this happen a couple of times where people just completely let go of their fears and the things that they thought that were going to happen didn't happen because they let it go. And then the situation was, I have a partner. The worst case scenario is the idea of getting a new job, and really finding your life partner. Because I don't care what anybody says. I've said this time and time again. You're going to have everything you've ever focused on ever happen in your life. The relationships, the jobs, that kind of stuff. It's just the idea of what are you willing to let go of to clear that space to actually have those things come in your life. Because realistically, when you look at the situation right now, it's not happening. So you know that this time and space, you're not living the life you really want to live. So there's certain aspects of that life that you have to let go of, if not the whole thing, to let it go. But I've also seen situations where it doesn't mean you lose a partner. It just means you put it in a different thing. The partner realizes, too, that this person is moving on. And if I don't sit here and make a decision, then it's my own fault that if I don't sit here and make the decision to move on with them. See, it's their decisions and their life, not yours. I'm just saying, I feel like very strong in this situation. If you do what you know you need to do, everything else will still fall into place like it's supposed to. And I definitely don't see you being by yourself because there seems to be a sense of loneliness and of fear.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just saying, look at the situation for what it is, you know? Is it because, seriously, I tell people this all the time. If you're focusing on loneliness, you're focusing on an empty space. If you keep focusing on empty space, what are you going to manifest? More emptiness. So when you start focusing and say, okay, I'm good. I like being by myself in the situation of the my life is. And next thing you know, you're going to find someone else who's also content with themselves as well. It's going to come in your life. And all you're supposed to do is combine those two lives and two individuals to probably have one of the best relationships you've ever had in your whole life of somebody who actually respects you for who you are because you respect them for who they are.
Mm-hmm.
Well, write this down. Anyway.
Okay.
I'm just saying,
thank you. I really needed that. That was helpful. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Let's see if Heather has anything to say.
I was just going to, what comes to mind so prevalent for me right now is to put a rose quartz. If you stand at your bedroom door, looking into your bedroom, and the far right-hand corner, put a rose quartz there. Find a rose quartz that you're attracted to, just put it there. It'll help with it. That's the relationship corner of your room, and rose quartz is all about love, so that will serve. And,
yeah, we always do
the
same thing with soulmate singers, right? Sorry.
I'm sorry, say that again. I didn't hear you that again.
No, I used to tell people to find a nice prayer, like a soulmate prayer, and people have a tendency to freak out, and they go, well, I already have someone in my life. I said, okay, well, you can still, there's still some doubt. So what you do is you use the soulmate prayer to attract your soulmate. So if the person you're with is your soulmate or your twin flame, what happens is you'll just get closer. You'll work through your problems. You'll work through your situations. You'll work through, you know, these certain things that you have a tough time with each other, and you'll start respecting each other even more. If you're not with your significant other, then what happens is you will be. So the prayer actually is really good. I would like to get my freaking Archangel Michael cards back because he actually has that prayer on one of his deck of cards where it talks about attracting your soulmate, helping you recognize each other, helping you accept each other, and also bring you together in the process of actually experiencing that now. I actually had it written down somewhere, but I just can't find it, and that's why I was going. I said, I've got to get these cards. And
you know, the other thing about that, though, is, and that's a journey that that's where I'm at on my journey, is being the person that I want to have in my space. Because I do, you know, I have my man written on my dream board. Every quality that I want, my partner. And I had a friend tell me, she said, Heather, I guess that's you. And I was like, oh, yeah, that is me. That is totally me. Yeah. And so I get to be that person that I want to attract into my space. Because, you know, like energy attracts like energy. And so that's, yeah. You know, people say, well, that person's way out of my league. Well, only because you choose that. You know?
Yeah, exactly.
Not,
yeah, that person's out of my league, but you still attract them anyway, right? So you're like,
right.
Okay, that's a contradiction.
Exactly.
Okay, you attracted them. How could it be out of your league if you are not in the same league? Maybe you should start appreciating yourself more.
Exactly. So, anyways, that is my input, to have the rose quartz in the relationship corner of the bedroom, and I say the bedroom rather than the house because in the bedroom is where romance is usually most abundant. So, usually. Anyway, so, and then being like the person you want to have your partnership with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
All righty.
Thank you.
If you ever want to get a chance, I was just going to sit there and say, if you ever want to sit down and get a reading, I mean, I do phone rings all the time, and, you know, it's one of those things that I always tell people that if you ever go check my website out and that kind of stuff, don't be freaked out by a lot of things. It's just the idea of what you got to bring to the table. You should think about doing that and getting a session and see what happens there, because there's a lot of things that, one thing about spirituality is it's progression, and it's a lifetime commitment. Okay, so the situation and the idea of giving tools so you can keep evolving. And there's certain things that you need to really work on. So that's what I'm saying. If you ever want to get a session or something like that, fine. If you have a little situation where you can't do that, please come back to the show if you have any more questions, okay? We'd love to hear from you.
Okay, thank you so much.
You have a good night.
Oh, you're welcome.
Okay, thanks. Good night. Bye.
Mm-hmm.
Donnie, you make me giggle.
And also, the situation, too, if you ever want to get a private reading with me, just call me at 740-500-8863 or contact me through my website at www.psychicxjourneyman.com. This month we're actually having a special, too, three 90-minute sessions for $100 and five 30-minute sessions for $100. We like to break them up like that in case you're a person who likes the five compared to the three. Take your time and the idea of learning certain things because most of the time we're teaching you about yourself. And I'm not saying it's complicated, but then again, you are a complicated three-dimensional being. So therefore, don't underestimate yourself and what you can do. That's why I always say complicated means you're powerful. So we want to sit here and help you understand how powerful you are so you can use that power to create your life the way you want it. And what?
I said I would say complex rather than complicated. Complicated sounds like it's a problem.
That's true too. But
sorry,
you said another person. You're thinking that you're complicated. So what we do is we bring you into a session and show you that you're not complicated at all. Like some people seem to, I'm in a complicated relationship. And realistically, if you really get into those situations, what you're going to find out is the person's thinking they're complicated, and there are certain things that they're trying to do. They're trying to manifest a partner by how they are now, and they can't figure out how come they're not getting anywhere because they don't realize that first and foremost they have to look at themselves and what do you like? Do you love yourself unconditionally? I see a lot of women who say that they do. I love myself. Really? Do you like your big ass? And she's like, well, no. Then you don't love yourself unconditionally.
I do have a different perspective.
You do.
On my own personal, yes, of course. Of course, would you expect anything less?
No.
Yes, Heather has an opinion. Whoa. Of course she, anyway. Okay, so my personal experience, and this is something that after the breakup, per se, I guess you might say, anyway.
Okay.
I started looking back and thinking, wow, you know, I did nag quite a bit. And, yeah, there were a lot of reasons. One, I expect people to be in their magnificence. You are a being of light. You are a magnificent being of light. Live your magnificence. What's wrong with you? Why would you not do that? And so, yes, I would gripe and complain and have issues, but at the same time, that person was not meant to be in my space.
Mm-hmm.
And so maybe that was a way for me to get them out. Subconsciously, get them out of my space. You can't step up, buddy. Step out. Get out. Go on.
You know, we sort of had that freaking conversation I said with a girl. A girl walks up to a guy and goes, these are my wants, needs, and desires. Can you do this? Because if you don't, I'm out of here. And there's one guy said, well, that's kind of harsh. I said, no. See, she knows what she wants. She knows what she needs, and she knows what she desires. Now, if this guy, all he has to do, realistically, is say yes, which gives her the signal that he knows what he wants, needs, and desires, too. Now, when he starts procrastinating, the reason she doesn't want to deal with him, because realistically, it tells her he should know, which means he's on the same page as she is. And she wants to save herself 6 months. She doesn't want to sit there and give in to the guy and treat him like a little child. Oh, he's been through a load of shit. Who hasn't? And she wants to look at the situation. She wants to have an adult relationship. So she's coming into the situation as an adult and saying, this is what I want, need, desire. Can you give me these or not? You know, basically what it's saying is, do you know what your want, needs, and desires are? Because if like attracts like, he doesn't have to really specify what he wants at that moment. All he has to do is say yes, and just go forward and see what's up. Most guys have a tendency, well, the guys I've actually had to do readings for their girlfriends, who keep saying they don't know what they want. They don't know what they need. They don't know what they desire. I tell them they're full of shit. Now, if you sit there and get the girls to do the same thing, but they're getting to the point right now they don't want to deal with it. And I don't think they really have to. You know, it's the ideal. If the people do know what they want, need, desire, and they're on that page, the first time they hear a person say, I don't know, they start realizing, well, I'm not responsible for you. And when you do know, you know where I'm at. You know who I am. You know what it's all about because I've been straightforward with you the whole freaking time. So therefore, have you been that way? Because first and foremost, I was straight and forward with myself. Now I'm coming to this freaking world and saying this is what I want, need, desire, so therefore I know what's up. You know, do you? Do you really know? And the guys are sitting there thinking, they're thinking that they should, it's almost like they want their asses kissed. I want you to understand. Go ahead.
It's partnership. It's a quality. No one person like the little soul in the sun. No one is more special or less special than anyone. Everybody is equal. Each person brings to the table something different and unique and beautiful. And those things have to be compatible. And
No, I know you're serious. I'm just, when you look at my scenario, the woman is seeing that she's special, and she's also seeing that he's special. If he's going to procrastinate, he has a specialness within himself. He needs to see that. Because she cannot do anything for him to bring him up to her level. It's his job and his responsibility to see her for what she is. That she is...
Exactly.
Wacko?
Well, okay, so here's, you know, in the New Testament, Christ uses parables to teach, and the reason he uses parables is so that he can assist, everyone in understanding what he's trying to say. So a good way to look at what we're trying to say is if you have a mechanic, who's supposed to have all their own tools, and they show up at the shop, and they don't have any tools, how the hell are you going to work on an engine if you don't have your tools?
Mm-hmm.
So pretty much if you show up in a relationship and you don't know who you are or what you want or where you're going, how do you expect to be successful in that relationship if you don't know yourself from Adam? You know,
that's why so many people struggle
is because they don't know who they are. And so they get into this relationship expecting that they're going to be happy because this person is going to make them happy. And they end up falling flat on their face.
Yeah, because they're putting, like guys do that. The guy freaks out because he's like, I don't know if I can make you happy. But I think sometimes in those situations it's an excuse to not be happy.
It's not your job to make me happy. I am happy. Your job is to allow me to be me and to just walk beside me. I'm sorry, I'm just saying that in general as a...
That's what I see, too. Yeah. I just look at the situation and go, okay. I mean, the scenario I'm coming up with is when two people meet each other the very first time, and she's basically saying, I know who I am. I've accepted myself for who I am right at this moment. Why are you not? But she's not really going, she's probably saying that and thinking those things, but I'd probably go more along the line she's thinking those things and hoping that he will be somewhat of a good communicator and communicate to her. Maybe that's why she comes off so abruptly. But see, the one thing I've always seen in a situation like this, I've seen people meet each other, known each other for 2 weeks, get married, and spend the rest of their lives together. Now, how does this happen when we have another scenario of a couple who meet like that, that ends in 2 weeks, that still have the same potential as the first one? It's because of the two people in the study. When you look at two people in a relationship, the girl who came off so abruptly, she sees the potential of the relationship. She sees the potential of the guy. But he's not learning from the reflection with her, or he would see the same potential within himself. So he says, I don't know what I want because in some ways, we could sit here and say that, you know, some women don't do this because they're scared of chasing men away, not realizing you're not chasing anybody away. Let's put it in perspective. The guy ran away. And then they'll go, well, I don't want him to run away either. But you're desperate to have a relationship. They go, no, I just want one, but I won't be too blunt. So the guy's going to run away. I'm like, no. If you're looking for a person as strong as you are, they'll embrace it just like you will. And when they don't and they run away, you've just saved yourself 6 months of trying to figure that out in the first place. Because if he's got that kind of insecurity going into the situation on a first meeting, he's not looking at her for her potential, how she can help him. Which is kind of funny how she can look at him and see how he's going to affect her life in a positive way. That's why she wants it. Why doesn't he want it? Because he just can't see the positive in the situation. Like we always say before, when a person runs away from that kind of situation, those kind of freaking connections, he's running away from himself. So I guess you could sit there and say he does see his specialness within himself, and it scares the shit out of him. Which, why would he do that? That's another show.
No, I think that's true for a lot of people. Until they can really truly get in touch with their greatness and their magnificence, they really do struggle. They fear that, you know, we've been brainwashed since we were little as society.
Have you seen things on Facebook? I've seen some things on Facebook where it says you will know everything about a person by watching their actions. Really? Why don't you do my job for a while and you'll see that's bullshit. The connections that we have with people, emotional connections and bonds we have with people are emotional. You cannot see those unless you allow yourself to see them. So the reason the girl is confused by the guy's actions, first and foremost, she thinks she needs to take on this freaking fixer-upper. And she needs to, you know, help him become a full person. When it's like, it's a contradiction that goes against her list. And her list, I don't remember seeing it. I want a fixer-upper. I want somebody who's just quite not right there so I can help him do it.
Are you speaking of a person in particular? Sorry.
Relax.
That's a little too close to home. Anyways. I know.
All I'm saying with a situation like that is, you know, it's like when we get into the scenarios, what I'm saying is the women I have talked to call me because they're confused, because they feel something, and they're trying to figure it out by what they see. They're saying, I feel like this guy loves me, but why is he not acting a certain way? So actions are not going to tell you everything. We are three-dimensional beings, okay?
Okay,
so you have to look at the scenario, huh?
There's another aspect to that, though. Just because, okay, now, by all means, please know that this is something that I am still learning. And that's the thing. As human beings, we're still learning and learning every day, moment to moment to moment. Mm-hmm. But just because our sweetheart is behaving a certain way, doesn't mean it has anything to do with us. Holy shit. Can I say that?
No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. Really? Did you just say that?
I know, but that's like an aha for me. That's like, oh my gosh. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying with the situation of like the scenario that I had. You know, like people saying, well, okay, what, don't you have to do something? To me, it's a false sense of responsibility for another person that you don't really should be doing. It's not about you. You were sitting there reflecting on how awesome you are, and they didn't see it.
Okay, so here's an example. They don't come home, and they don't call, and you're left sitting at home worrying. Instead of worrying, trust that everything is okay, all is well. This person is on, now this is where I have my anxiety, okay? And this is where Wayne Dyer talks about disconnecting. Or not
detaching.
Disconnecting, but detaching. Yes, detaching.
Yeah, detaching.
Do not attach yourself.
Right?
Yes, I have a great deal
I've seen this, too. I love you getting anxiety with this one, too.
Yes.
Kind of freaking me out. You see it in progress and like, whoa. Detach.
I know.
Yeah.
when you can't breathe, and I know it's bad.
Yeah.
But it is so true, and it's such a it is such a profound truth. And if I can grasp the concept of saying, okay, this person is not coming home tonight. They're fine. They're on their own journey. They're choosing to live their life the way that they see fit. And here I am, living my life, and on my journey, as I get to see fit, what do I get to do with my journey? Allowing them their space, their choices, and, you know, one,
yeah.
It would help with heartache so greatly. Two, it would help with fighting, because there would be no fight.
Really?
Three, it would really just create the most beautiful experience between two people. There we go. Sorry, why are you laughing at me?
When you have these realizations and to hear you say it, when I've already probably told you this a couple times, and it was like, she knows this stuff, and one of these days she'll actually say it. And then tonight.
Why do you think I always say, I know? Because
I know.
I know.
Now
yes,
you're supposed to say, I've done that.
I live it.
And now it's
I am
good.
It. I get it. Yes.
I'm giggling because it's actually a really pleasant giggle. In the ideal,
I
love seeing people when they go through the realizations. But, which, you know, seriously, with this kind of work, you really don't get to see a lot of people go through the realizations of the stuff that you conveyed to them. So it's kind of amazing.
Well, this is stuff that I know. It truly is. But, and I know that being in that moment when you are sitting at home alone at 2 a.m. and you're in tears, it's really hard to get into that space of, I'm trusting.
I know.
And I'm letting go and allowing.
Mm-hmm.
And really just, and truly being that loving partner. Because even though your partner is not returning that beautiful favor,
mm-hmm.
you get to be the partner you want.
Yes, that's exactly right.
And you find out
the partner
I want.
Yeah, the partner you want to be is the partner who you are. It's the ideal. That's what it is all about. You are who you are.
Yeah.
Sometimes people have a tendency to get away from that because they had a partner that told them that they didn't like that. Or there's certain things they wanted to change about them. Or they wanted to do this, they didn't do that. And you're like, next thing you know, you don't recognize yourself.
Exactly. That's for one thing
to
get wrong.
It's like the last guy, like we were talking about the situation, when you get away from the whole thing, you've been there before, and you do get impatient to get back there, because you know once you get back there, that's when the freaking changes, positive, and all that good stuff starts happening, and you know that. So you just get impatient, but you forgot the journey that took you there in the first place. You got to live that. And, you know, there's certain things you went through, realization, that kind of stuff. Being homeless, for me, was kind of funny, because it's like, my friend said, how long was you homeless? I said, well, it was just long enough to have the realization of what got me out of it the first time. Because I put myself there, so I got to listen. That's what I was always saying about guidance. I really listen to angels and guides any day, and then listen to humans and the process of what they're trying to convince me of. When angels have a tendency to go, here's what you need to do. Either do it or don't. But when have I ever let you down? So therefore, you look at the human who told you some things. How many times have they let you down? Well, one, two, you know, you start going over certain things like that. I'm not saying all the friends are like that. I'm just saying that the one thing I wanted you to experience is, yeah, they're coming in that shop and to see the things that happen. That one day when we have people coming in, sticking their heads in, all these conversations we had, all these experiences we had. We didn't do a lot of readings that day, but we sure had a lot of realizations, a lot of experiences, and a lot of connections to a lot of people that could just set off a chain reaction to something that could be...
That was
very interesting to see that.
And just like almost, I know you, and I was like, you do?
Good for you.
I'm like, yeah. Oh my goodness, I don't know that I know you. But he's like, no, I know you. And I was like, well, maybe we've connected in another lifetime, and you, confirmed that, and he's like, no, I know you. And I was like, well, have you been here and here? And he said, no. And we, none of the same places, but he knew me, and that was just, that was
yeah, it's like
an awesome
connection. Yeah,
I've
had those too. I had that with some girl who came to the shop, and she's, which is what, it was one of those things where we just knew each other. We had a conversation, reminisced over past lives, but it was just two best friends finding each other. One had found his path, and she was looking for hers.
Awesome.
So I was like, really, I get that all the time when people go, I know you. Well, good for you.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I can't wait. I cannot wait for our project to come to fruition. I am just, I am so excited about that. I said, I saw it this morning on my way to work. I saw it, and it was just, it was beautiful. I was so excited. I couldn't stop smiling.
I know, I saw
smiling.
It today, too. I want to get to those. I want to get to those last callers so we can actually have this conversation in person.
Okay. Well, chatterbox. I'm not the only one.
Okay. Here we go. I'm going to. Oh, you on the air, Mrs. I kind of forgot her name. I hate that. You're the one with the Skype name. I'm thinking. Are you there? The name on Skype is DNNABODHI. Hello? Don't you hate when we talk too long and people fall asleep? Anyway. B, I want to say Teresa or Tracy. Hello? Their Skype name is BNNABODHI. You're on the air. Hello? Hello? I hear. Hello? Hello?
You have no idea how hard it is for me to not say hello back to you.
I was just hearing all the thing myself going, Well, I think I'm going to say hello one more time.
Okay.
And then, hello? And then I'm going to sit there and go, we're going to have to go because I really have to go before I go anywhere. So.
Oh, no. Okay.
I should be over your house in like 10 minutes. You know, that walk is like 2 seconds, especially when you're going downhill.
Yeah, it's not very far.
Okay.
Okay.
Because we're sitting here talking about the whole thing. The excitement about this project is getting really intense, so I can't really see it not happening. I can't see it at all, man. It's like one of those things where you just look at the, like, waking up next week and somebody contact you and go, hey, got this fantastic deal for you because these guys here, we pretty much have run the course in this whole situation and we're done with it. So it's like it might actually play out where we might actually get the cottages first that evolves into taking the whole thing.
Well, perhaps that's the way it gets to go, but
well, that's fine for me, but
you
have to utilize it.
I know that in manifesting, You focus on what it is, on the end result, on what it is that you want and what it is that you get to create. Now, in the process of that, you do sometimes get to focus on the mechanics of things and how to make things happen. And I know that we get to work on some of those mechanics.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so excited. Okay.
Okay.
I'm going to
end the show.
Okay.
I'll see you. Yeah, I'll see you here in a minute. And then I'm going to go, I think, and then we're going to go bye. We can be a little more descriptive of that. Thank everybody who actually was listening to the show tonight. Thank you for all the callers. and all the readings we did, and we have to do it again. We'll be here Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, and Sunday at 8 p.m. Mountain Time. So join us then for a two-hour show. And Thursday night, we're actually going to go into more details about manifestation. I think more about chakras, too. And then join us for that. If you really want to get into the idea of manifesting things on day to day, hour to hour, when you start focusing on things that they happen, and you start realizing, I got the power. It sounds like a song, but join us on Thursday for those things. You know, like every time we're on the show, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, and Sunday. Glad to have you here. It's all one of the things. We'll talk to you guys later. Thanks, Heather.
Thank you.
This was a fantastic show.
Yes, it was lots of fun.
All righty. So I'll say goodbye, and may God and the angels bless you every minute of every day, and give love where love is given. And, you know, hey, if anybody wants to get a private reading with me, just give me a call at 740-500-8863, and we'll go from there. You all have a good night, and we'll talk to you all later. Bye-bye.